ജയ വിഷുപാദപരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുന്ദ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരിഗോവർധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാ പരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമദേവ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവിന്ദ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ. നമാമിഷ്ടപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ. സഹസ്രദേവൻ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോ സമജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ. നാമസംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്സ യതോന്വയാദിതരത ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദിഗവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോപാരിവൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ വരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യത യത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്യുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്നം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ മരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിദാ ദൃദാനനേന്ദോ
മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരേന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാഭി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദപ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയന്മേനം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാ വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധി ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രമേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുർഗാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സ്വതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്രേദീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാ ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവേ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
So all the Mahalpas, great souls, they have, when they have prayed to Krishna, that their mood was, at least you have saved me, what about those who are going to come after us, what will happen to them? So that is why in Shivana Lahiri, Acharya Swamiji mentioned there that as far as the people who are suffering, then there is nobody more than me, he says. I am the one who suffers the maximum. Among those who are suffering, I am their leader. And among saving all those people from this misery, those who can save them, among them you are the leader. That's how he puts it. Ramana Maharshi also mentioned the same thing, that a person like me who doesn't know anything, you have saved me from here. You have saved, got me out from here. And you should stay like this, he says. You should not get liberated and go away. You should save people and stay here. He says to Arunachaleshwara, to Shiva, in that way. So this you will see among all the great personalities, this nature, the concern for others as well. And you will see that in Uddhava, you will see that in Prahlada also, which we are going to see now. So with Uddhava says to Krishna, Krishna instructed Uddhava with the knowledge of the Absolute, isn't it? Uddhava says, I will go, but you should stay here. Uddhava says to Krishna, I will go, but you should stay here. Because, just like we say yesterday, that we finished our course and we have left the school. But if the teacher also goes, then what will happen? He says, the teacher should stay here. Krishna is the teacher, Jagal Guru. You stay here. And you help others work again here, he said. So that is at that time that Uddhava says that Krishna has agreed to Uddhava that I will stay here in this world in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vangmaya Murti, through the words. Vangmaya Murti, Krishna's form. Krishna won't be present here in his bodily for identity, but he is present here in his Vangmaya Murti. Tirodhaya Pravishtoham Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. He says, after I have disappeared, I will be in the Bhagavadam. If you want to find me, search for me there, you will find me there, in the Srimal Bhagavadam. So these words Krishna has spoken about it to Uddhava. Tirodhaya Pravishtoham Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. And then you can cover your form, but stay in this ocean of Bhagavadam. In the ocean of Bhagavadam, underneath the water, you can stay like that. So, Pratyaksha Vangmaya Murti. That is what Bhagavadam is. Pratyaksha Vangmaya Murti. Vangmaya means the word form. In the form of words. That is Bhagavadam is, isn't it? So, and you may say that, oh, I do not know Krishna in the Vangmaya Murti form. That form is not known to me. Because why? Here you can see Prahlada is saying there, that in that seventh canto, in the sixth chapter, the words he used is that 7623. Mayaya andarhidesh aishwaryam iyade gunasargaya. What does this mean? Mayaya andarhida aishwarya ishwari iyade gunasargaya. What that means is that due to the influence of Maya, we only know everybody in this world in the form of man, woman. We don't know anything else. We see persons, oh, he say, oh, he's a man, he's a woman. Oh, that's a woman, this is a man, in that way. This is the only way we know people, isn't it? So that is what Prahlada is saying there. Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupa Parameshwara Maya Andarhida Ishwarya Iyade Gunasargaya. Because of the presence of Maya. Maya makes us think like that. Every person we see, we will only come up with this conclusion. Oh, that's a man, that's a woman. In this way. There's no other connection with the other person. In fact, it's not man and woman. That's a completely avidya it is, isn't it? But that is our deep-rooted perception in life. Maya Andarhida Ishwarya Iyade Gunasargaya. So therefore, he says, Tasmal Sarveshu Bhudeshu Dayam Kurida Saukhridam Asuram Bhavam Unmichya Yayatushyadi Adhokshajam. Then, therefore, because you know only in that way, shok mercy to everybody, karunyam, daya, to everybody, daya, Dayam Kurida Saukhridam. friendship and compassion to everybody else, which means samadrishti, equal vision to everybody. Because to always remember that Krishna is present in every living being. And Prahlada is saying to us, to the brother, to his friends, that knowing this, you do your vyavaharam in this world. Knowing that Krishna is present in everyone and conduct your vyavaharam in that way. So this is the class for the Asura boys, Asura friends. This is the class, that's what we are, this whole chapter, the sixth chapter is the class for his friends and who are studying with him in the school, in the class. He is teaching them all these things, isn't it? Yeah. This is all Prahlada's instructions to them. But for Prahlada, what did Krishna do? Krishna says, Ananesh Chindayandomam Yajanam Parivasade Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yogakshemam Mahamyaham. That means that if you are remaining on the spiritual platform, on the platform of the soul, then in that case, if you are, that is what verse means, that if you are always situated on the platform of the soul, it is Krishna's responsibility to protect your body then. To protect your body, it's Krishna's responsibility, provided you are on the platform of the soul. Ananyas chindayandomam ejanam paryupasade. That's what that verse is pointing into. That if you are so Krishna conscious that you are absorbed in the self-inquiry or knowing who you are, identifying with that identity of the self, in which case, protection of the body is Krishna's responsibility. So, therefore, Prahlada did not pray for his own protection. He didn't pray for his own protection. But Krishna kept on protecting that body all the time, isn't it? When he was tortured. When he was tortured by Hiranyakashipu, Krishna kept on protecting him all the time. And finally, when the right time has come, Krishna appeared as Narasimha Murthy and killed Hiranyakashipu. Killed Hiranyakashipu. But even when after killing him, Narasimha Murthy kept on roaring in his like a lion. He kept on roaring like a lion. And you may ask the question, can God get angry? That's the question, isn't it? People ask this question. What kind of God is that? And people have this concept. Can God get angry? If God is getting angry, then why are you blaming me when I'm getting angry? If God can get angry, why not I get angry? Isn't it? Actually, anger is also coming from Krishna. Anger is also coming from Krishna. And this anger, what we experience sometimes, is a reflection of that anger in Krishna. Krishna's anger manifests in us in the form of anger. It's a reflection of that. What you have to remember is that anything what you find in this creation, in prakriti, material nature, all of that is coming from Krishna himself. From Krishna himself. Whatever you find here in prakriti, material nature, that is all Krishna's. Because in Vedam, there is this famous prayers called Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram and Chamakam. And in that Shri Rudram, one of the prayers itself is, Namaste Manyava, that I pay my obeisances to your anger. I pay my obeisances to your anger. Addressing Shri Rudram. In that say, it says there. So, like that, that means I pay my respects to you, to your anger. Tsunami and all that, Krishna's anger that is. Tsunami is all Krishna's anger. Anything what you see, the movement in the prakriti, changes that's happening in the prakriti, that is all Krishna's anger. When there is no rain, that's Krishna's anger. When there is a drought or cyclone or earthquake, things like that, it is Krishna's anger that is working through the prakriti, working through the prakriti. So, anger is one of the emotions of the of many emotions that Krishna has. Anger is one of them, and any moment it can come out, that anger can come out. And if you say that, they don't have any tolerance that Krishna In the Ramayanam, it will mention like this. Ramayanam, it says that, Shamaya Padudamaha Kailagar Sadasha Krotho. It says there. That actually, nobody else has anger like Krishna, and nobody else has patience like Krishna. Tolerance also. You can see that in the Prakriti. Krishna tolerates a lot of our mischief, isn't it? All kinds of things what we do, completely forgetting Krishna's instructions, and completely ignoring, based on our mind, we make all kinds of activities, what we call as Ugra Karma in this world, for which we actually deserve more punishment than what we are getting now, kind of things what we do here, isn't it? So, when he gets angry, he destroys everything, and whom he will destroy, then he is destroying himself, Krishna, because all of us are a part of him. You're not separated from him, isn't it? Who are we? We are also his expansions. So when he wants to destroy, he destroys his expansions also sometimes. And therefore, in us also, he comes in the form of anger. He comes in the form of anger. So here, Narasimha Murthy showed his anger, what anger means. All the demigods got frightened, and Prahlada went up to him and paid his obeisances to him. Now, Narasimha Murthy's importance. In all the great yoga processes, yoga sampradayam, that Narasimha Upasana, worshipping Narasimha Murthy is very prominent. Worshipping Narasimha is very prominent. All the acharyas worshipped Narasimha. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Mimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the great personalities, they all worshipped Narasimha. Worship Narasimha. If you go to Sringeri, they have a temple there for Narasimha. In Sringeri, you will see there. Sringeri is considered to be the center of learning in Shastram, and all the acharyas there are, for generations, they are very learned personalities. So the reason for that is that Narasimha Murthy, when a devotee has a dire need, means in extreme danger, who Prahlada was, isn't it? In extreme danger, he had come from a pillar. Pillar is Narasimha Murthy's mother. A pillar is his mother, because he's from pillar he came, isn't it? So he didn't come like in the case of Gajendra, he came by flying in on Garuda. For Gajendra, he came flying in on Garuda. But here, that much time wasn't there. So therefore, he came out from the pillar. So Krishna can manifest anywhere. Anywhere he can manifest. So if there is a limitation in manifesting like this, if there is a limitation on that, then it is not God anymore, isn't it? Krishna is not God. Krishna will not be God. Krishna is God because he can manifest from anywhere, anytime. That is that potency in him. So, only what is required is, if the devotee has that bhavam inside. Prahlada had that bhavam. Prahlada is seeing Krishna everywhere. And as far as he is concerned, nothing else exists here except Krishna. So, pillar was sufficient for Krishna to manifest. A pillar was sufficient. Otherwise, if you do not have that bhavam inside, even if Krishna comes and stands in front of you, you won't know that it is God has come. You won't know that. And the proof of that is in both in Ramachandra's appearance and Krishna's appearance, this has happened. Is it not? That in Ramavadaram, in Rama's appearance, nobody knew that it was God. God has come as Ramachandra. And Krishnavadaram also same thing happened. So, Krishna was begging to Duryodhana to hand over the land, the kingdom, to Pandavas. And Duryodhana didn't know who he was asking. Not knowing who, that is the indication of that. That if you do not have that bhavam inside, even if Krishna comes in front of you, you won't recognize him. You will think that, oh, he's another competition for you. Or think in a different way, isn't it? Whereas, look at the differences. Duryodhana, even Krishna came in front and asked him, he couldn't agree with it. And Prahlada, without seeing anywhere Krishna's presence, physically like that,
When he wanted, Krishna appeared from the pillar. This is the difference. Why is that? Due to that bhakti. This is bhakti. That bhakti's difference is shown in the Bhagavatam like this. That means to show that the bhavam inside of a person matters more than the than externalities, external things. If the bhavam is there, a pillar is sufficient to deliver God, to deliver Krishna. So, that means pillar has become pregnant with Krishna. Pillar became pregnant. So, he can manifest anywhere, anytime, in any form. So that is why you have to remember this when Krishna is saying that I am in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have the bhavam, you will find him in the Bhagavatam. If you have the bhavam, you will find Krishna in the Bhagavatam. That Vangmaya Murti, that is why Tiryodhaya Pravishtoham, Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. You search for me, you will find me there, Krishna says while leaving to Uddhava. Say so. So, in Vedantam, important thing is two things, Viryam and Tejas. And Viryam and Tejas. Viryam is that strength inside us to go for the realization of the self. All other obstacles, what that is coming in our life, you are able to ignore that and go towards the goal. That power in a person, that's called Viryam. Viryam means that. That you are able to see, you have focusing on the truth, and after studying Shastram, you have understood the importance of self-realization and how to escape from this mess altogether. And one who is determined in that way and proceeding in that direction, he has got Viryam. Viryam, the word used in the Shastram. Viryam, that power. So, and similarly, Tejasa. Tejasa means that capacity to protect all the devotees all the time. That capacity Krishna has, Narasimhamurti has. These two particularly, Viryam and Tejasa, both of them Narasimhamurti has got in plenty. Therefore, for Brahmachari life, and for knowledge, jnanam, that main deity they worship is Narasimham. Sannyasis and Brahmacharis. Sannyasis for the knowledge and Brahmachari for their maintaining Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam means, celibacy is a word what we use in a little lighter sense. Brahmacharyam is more than that. Brahmacharyam means that able to be focused, Brahmam Charadi iti Brahmachari. One who is going towards Brahmam, he is Brahmachari. That means all the time able to maintain that consciousness inside of a Brahmachari. So for Brahmacharis, that is why generally householders don't worship Narasimham. Brahmacharis or Jnanis or Sannyasis, they worship Narasimham. Narasimham is worshipped by them. Brahmacharis, not that householders are not allowed to worship, but they should be strict in their life. They can't live a loose life and then worship Narasimhamurti. That will create problems. It will come back. So, Narasimhamurti generally worshipped by, that is why in all the famous mutts, Kanji and also in Sringeri and places like that, Narasimhamurti is worshipped seriously. And that worship is Brahmachari Sandhi. So, Upasana, main Upasana Murti. For Upasana purposes, he is the main deity who is worshipped. So, Upasana is one secret of behind that. And you shouldn't confuse with Upasana and Vedantam. Vedantam and Upasana are two different things. In Upasana, there is one aspect. Kartrutvam is there. Kartavyam. Or, I am the doer will still be there. Vedantam is Jnatavyam. Upasana is Kartavyam, Vedantam is Jnatavyam. What that means is, while performing Upasana, Narasimhamurti is separate, I am separate. It is in that relationship it is worshipped. That is called Kartavyam. Kartrutvam comes there. In Vedantam there is no Kartrutvam, it is Jnatavyam. That you are realizing the oneness of the truth, presenting there. So Upasana, in Upasana when Narasimhamurti appeared here in this state, all the
demigods who were present there, they got frightened seeing him. And at that point, Prahlada goes to them, goes to Narasimhamurti, fell at his lotus feet, paid his obeisances to Narasimham. You will see that in the 9th chapter, how Prahlada is paying obeisances. 795. Supadamuli, padidam tam arbhagam, vilokya deva kripaya pariplutaha, uttapyata cheshnedathat karambujam, kalahi vitrastadhyam krudabhayam. 795. Supadamuli, padidam tam arbhagam, vilokya deva kripaya pariplutaha, uttapyata cheshnedathat karambujam, kalahi vitrastadhyam krudabhayam. Kripaya pariplugam, he says. For Narasimhamurti, kripaya pariplugam. Pariplugam means that inside Narasimhamurti, inside, he was feeling compassion for Prahlada so much. Because after what he went through with Hiranyakashipu, that was sufficient. It has even melted Narasimhamurti's heart. He felt so affected by that this little child had to go through with Hiranyakashipu. So that compassion inside, Kripa, came out from him. So this Narasimhamurti, who was so angry and ready to finish the whole thing up, that when Prahlada came and paid his obeisances at his feet, immediately picked him up and kept him on his lap. Hiranyakashipu took him, Narasimhamurti took him and kept him on his lap. And what did he say then? Shirshnya adadadhad karambhujam. Uttapyata shirshnya adadhad karambhujam, he says. And put his feet on Prahlada's head, like giving protection. Don't worry, you are safe. Stay with me, he says. So then when he saw that, when this happened, as soon as Narasimham touched Prahlada, at that moment, that paramparalma darshanaha, see that sixth verse, what happened? Satalkaras parashadutha ghilashubha sabhadyabhivyakta paralma darshanaha talpada palpam hridinurvratho dhatau hrishyatanu klinna hridashrulochanaha. That sabadyabhivyakta paralma darshanam. Paralma darshanam has happened to him. That means that satat karasparsha dudhahilashubha sabadyabhivyakta paralma darshanam. Paralma darshanaha. That very instantaneously, that experience of when Krishna touches somebody or Narasimhamurti touches somebody, what do you experience? The power of the spirit, isn't it? Atma's power. The Brahman personified is touching you. So that must be an experience in itself. So at that point, that Prahlada, that bliss inside was such. Tears started coming from Prahlada in that blissful state. The bliss that is coming out. Like Chit Shakti comes out, bliss comes out sometimes from the soul. So when the bliss started flowing like that, Prahlada was crying because seeing that Narasimhamurti's protection, protective power. From all these time, Hiranyakashipu has given maximum, tortured him. But now suddenly this protection from Narasimhamurti is experiencing, and that happiness is coming out. And then begins Prahlada with his prayers. The famous glorification of Prahlada in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That begins there. Prahlada uvacham brahmadaya suragana munayodha siddha sattvaigadana madayo vajasam pravahai naradidam purugunai adhuna bibipru kim toshtum arhati same hari rugrajade. That is how the prayers begin. Brahmadaya suragana munayodha siddha sattvaigadana madayo vajasam pravahai നാരാദിദംബുരുഗുണൈരധുനാ ബിവിപ്രോ കിം തോഷ്ടുമർഹതി സമേ ഹരിരുഗ്രജാതേ. When he started that, Brahma and others, Prahlada is saying, Brahmadeya Suragana, Brahma and the other demigods, when they started glorifying, they couldn't glorify Narasimhamurthy because they were frightened to go close to him in that anger. They were staying away from him. And me, he's saying, who were born in this demoniac race, Asura Jadi. Aradidam Purugunai Adhunadi Pipru Kim Toshtu Marhadi Samehari Ugrajade. Ugrajade means, I am born in this Asura Jadi, Ugrajadi, isn't it? Who one like me, who was born in this Asura Jadi, Narasimhamurthy wants me to glorify him. Prahlada feeling a little happiness that Brahma, Mahalakshmi and others were there. They were frightened to go anywhere nearby, seeing their anger. They're keeping a distance. Whereas Prahlada happily went up to him and Narasimhamurthy showed all mercy to him, took him and put him on his lap. And Prahlada felt, I'm better, I'm able to do this. What Brahma could not do, what Mahalakshmi could not do, I am able to do that. It is that is what he is saying here. Sattvegadanam tanodi tanuvistare. That is how Sridhara Swami mentioned there. Sattvegadanam atayo vajasam pravahai. Sattvegadanam means tanodi tanuvistare. That means that expanded form of that Sattugunam. Inside is all Sattugunam. Sridhara Swami mentions here that personalities like Brahma and all, who are generally in Sattugunam, because that is why they can, although Brahma is not in Rajogunam, Brahma is in Sattugunam, because he is on the top of the ladder, isn't it? But for creation purposes, he accepts Rajogunam so that he can create. So, and that Brahma and others have glorified you, but it didn't work, Prahlada saying here. So when it is like that, what qualification do I have to glorify you? What is my qualification? How can I glorify you? Because I don't have any qualifications. I am a child, 5-year-old boy. Nor have I got any good background either. I am coming from this Hiranyakashipu's race. And how can I glorify? He is saying here. That is why he is saying here, Kim toshtu marhadi same hari ugrajadi. What qualification? I am born in the Ugrajadi. And Ugrajadi means generation after generation who don't do anything good. Who don't do anything good. Rakshasa parambara. Or Asuri Parambara, Asura Parambara. So, from this you can understand, Prahlada has come from that background, isn't it? From Asura Parambara. So what he's saying is that, where bhakti will develop, it's very difficult to say. It can develop anywhere in the world, in the creation, anywhere in the creation. You can never say this, that only in this particular Parambara devotees will come. No, it can appear anywhere because this is a special feature of the Antaryami. Antaryami is a symptom, that is, Vaibhavam. Antaryami is a special mercy, that is. Wherever, any part of the world, anywhere, in anywhere, anybody, bhakti can develop. Nobody can stop that happening. So, you can see that Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlada, became one of the greatest devotees, isn't it? That we have said this before also, he has come from Vaikuntham. Hiranyakashipu has come from Vaikuntham. But Hiranyakashipu's associates here in this world, they were not very good people. All of them were demons, asuric nature. And in the middle of all that, a pure devotee, Prahlada, comes. Is that not interesting? then you can imagine that parambara parambara. We talk about parambara, don't we? A lot. That has to be the disciplic succession and all that. We say all that. And we think that only in the disciplic succession devotees can come. Only in the disciplic succession self-realization can come. What is the disciplic, Prahlada's disciplic succession? When you look at that. So bhakti is not limited to anything, not even to parambara. Parambara also cannot restrict bhakti. Bhakti is completely in the hands of Antaryami inside. If Antaryami wants to make a person devotee, no parambara can stop it. No parambara can stop it. So, just like you go to a deep forest and you get a particular herb for your treatment. Similarly, which is very difficult to find that, isn't it? Or you can say in the garbage, there is a jewel lying there in the garbage. Similarly, great personalities appears in so many different places. And you can never stop that. Where they will appear and where these great personalities will appear and where they will become devotees, all these things is unpredictable. It's not possible to predict. Nothing restricts them because everything is controlled by the Antaryami inside. Sometimes we can see in good families, what we consider as good families, who are for traditionally very, very trained and educated, and they eventually turn out to be very selfish, envious, and eventually asuric nature. You can see that. Sometimes you see that. If you observe people carefully, families who have been traditionally very good, simple, knowledgeable, and higher religious culture, spiritual culture in them, they brought up, they were trained like that, and suddenly there appears someone who is very greedy, envious, selfish, and wants to acquire loads of wealth in this world and becoming completely attracted to materialistic nature. Why does that happen? That is a question, isn't it? That So in this way, Krishna is doing his part in this way, with society, with people and all that. And so Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions this, that these two contradictions you can see in this world, on one hand, people are in the parambara, they live here, and you come out from a good parambara, a bad seed comes out, and you find totally opposite to their traditions, it turns out. And on the other hand, you also see there that you that in the parambara of these demons and asuras, suddenly a pure devotee comes from there. Two contradicting situations. And it makes people to think, why is it like this? Is it not? So, it is for that reason that in Vedanta Brahma Sutram, Vedavyas started with Athado Brahma Jityasa. But Bhagavadam, he started with Janmadhyaseyadaha. Why? This is the reason. That Adhado Brahma Jityasa is the first sutram in the Vedanta Sutram, Brahma Sutram. The second sutram is Janmadhyaseyadaha. But instead of starting with Adhado Brahma Jityasa in Bhagavadam, when he came to Bhagavadam, when it came to devotees, he realized that it is not exactly like the way in the Vedanta Sutram. So he took the second sutram and brought it into Bhagavadam as the first sutram. Because Bhagavadam begins with Janmadhyaseyadaha. Janmadhyaseyado noyaditaradas. It starts like that, isn't it? That is the second sutram of the Vedanta Sutram, Brahma Sutram. So this is the reason that because to become a devotee, you don't need any qualifications. You don't require any qualifications. Whereas to become a Jnani, there are so many qualifications spoken there. What they say is that Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekam, Ihamutra Bhala Bhogaviragam, Shamadamadi Shalsambhati, Mumukshatvam. So many pre-qualifications required to come to the platform of a Jnani. Those things are not insisting in the bhakti process. Therefore, he started Adhigari. Adhigari means qualifications are not required. How will you find a person is qualified for bhakti or not? How would you find that out? Well, there's only one way of finding out that. That is, whoever gets bhakti, he is qualified. That's the only way you can see. If there is bhakti in the heart, he is qualified for it. That's why he got it. That is why he got it. So, we are talking to so many people about Krishna consciousness. If you ask the question, are they all qualified for bhakti? The only thing you can take it is, who is qualified for bhakti? Who knows? Who is qualified for bhakti? So, we don't know even know whether we are qualified for bhakti or not. Krishna says, you speak Srimad Bhagavatam, I am speaking, and also you are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam in the same way. Whether you are qualified or not, I don't know. Nobody knows about that, isn't it? We all don't know about ourselves. But still we are speaking and we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but if any one of us get that experience of Krishna, Krishna's experience, then he is qualified for that. That's the only way in the bhakti process. Whereas in the jnanam process, they will insist that before you come to jnanamargam, you need to qualify yourself various ways. But in bhakti, there is no such thing. If you get bhakti and Krishna giving you bhakti and you are qualified for that, that's it. That's the end of that. So even among a group of people, one person may get bhakti in the heart, others may not get it, others may not know about it. So, that difference will always be there in the listeners also. Some people will come with jinyasa to know what is being said. Some others, they will understand a little bit of everything. Some people won't understand anything, and some people will get experience of bhakti also. So, one who is getting that experience, he is the one who is qualified for bhakti. He is the one who is qualified for bhakti. So, and with that it is over, and Krishna looks after that person, and therefore, it is difficult to know who is qualified for bhakti. Anybody and everybody is qualified for bhakti, but it is difficult to identify he is qualified and he is not qualified. When we are inquiring about a person, all what you are seeing there is that when you look at a person, from outside you will see, seeing his body, is he a qualified person or not? And if he is looking a little bit beautiful, then you will say, he's a good person, he looks good. But inside him, there could be all the other problems, envy, ragadvesham, and other things could be there. He may have born in a good family background also, he may have, but you can never say that. Ravana was also born in a very good family. Ravana was. That is why, but Ravana could not become a devotee, isn't it? He was always having problems. But Prahlada was born in a demoniac family, whereas Ravana was born in a much better family. Ravana's heritage, if you look, is unbelievable heritage he has got. Pulastya, Idavida, all that tradition, rishis and sages in Ravana's family. Ravana himself is a Brahmana, and he turns out to be like this. And Prahlada is saying that I am completely opposite. How can I glorify you? What's my qualification? So bhakti is not anybody's monopoly. It is nobody's monopoly. It is anybody can have bhakti if Krishna gives him that bhakti. So Prahlada is asking that question, how can I glorify you? He is saying there. Kim toshtum arhadi same hari ugra jade brahmadaya suragana munayoda siddha sattvaigadana matayo vajasam pravahe naradidam purugunai adunabhi pipru kim toshtum arhadi same hari ugra jade. Prahlada is saying there, Brahma, Lord Brahma and many others who are even in the mood of goodness, they are not able to glorify you. But me, who is born in a very demoniac race, how can I glorify you? Prahlada is asking. Then in the next words he is saying, Manye dhanabhi janarupa tapasruta upjam teja prabhava bhalabhaurusha buddhi yoga naradhanayi bhavandi parasya pamso bhaktyatu dosha bhagavan gajayutha bhaya. മന്യേദനാബിജനരൂപതപശ്രുതൗജ തേജപ്രഭാവബലപൗരുഷബുദ്ധിയോഗ നാരാധനായി ഭവന്തി പരസ്യ പുംസോ ഭക്ത്യാതുദോഷ ഭഗവാൻ ഗജയൂഥപായ. പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഓൾസോ യു വിൽ സീ ദിസ് നയൻത് ആൻഡ് ദ ടെൻത് ദേ കം ടുഗദർ. ഇൻ ദി ട്വൽത്ത് വേഴ്സ് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വിപ്രാദിഷൽ ഗുണയുഗാദ് അരവിന്ദനാഭ പാദാരവിന്ദ വിമുഖാം ശുഭജാം വരിഷ്ഠം മന്യേ തദർപ്പിതമനോ വചനേഹിതാർത്ഥ പ്രാണം പുനാദി സകുലം നദു ഭൂരിമാന. പ്രഹ്ലാദ സെയിങ് ദേർ സീ ദാറ്റ് വിപ്രാദിഷൽ ഗുണായുഗാദ് അരവിന്ദനാഭ ട്വൽവ് സിംപ്റ്റംസ് ഈ സൈസ് ദ്വിഷൽ ഗുണം. Dushal Gunam, that is the next verse, that Dushal Gunam, Vipradi Dushal Gunayudad Aravinda Nava Padaravinda Vimukham Shabajam Varishtam. A person, he has got a lot of wealth, and he is doing a lot of charities also, charity things, and things like that. He is busy with this wealth, he is sharing with so many other people. And അഭിജനം മന്യേ ധനാഭിജനം ധനാഭിജനം മീൻസ് ദോസ് ഹവ് ഗോട്ട് എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് വെൽത്ത് ധനാഭിജനം ആൻഡ് അഭിജനം ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഈസ് ഫ്രം എ വെൽത്തി ബാക്ക്ഗ്രൗണ്ട് ഹി ഓൾസോ ബോൺ ഇൻ എ സത്കുലം ഇൻ എ ഗുഡ് ഫാമിലി ബാക്ക്ഗ്രൗണ്ട് എവറിഥിങ് ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ഹിം ഹി ലുക്സ് വെരി ഗുഡ് യൂത്ത്ഫുൾ ആൻഡ് ഗുഡ് ലുക്കിംഗ് Tejas, if you see, there is Tejas in him, you know, aura, an aura in him. Tapas, he has got plenty of austerities and penances. Practically what Prahlada is saying there is, somebody who has got all these things, lot of wealth, good birth, good looking, if you look at him, there is an aura in him. He has performed a lot of austerities and penances. That means he is spiritually very inclined. He has studied Shastram very well. And then he has got Prabhavam Balam Pavirusham. That means that he knows what has to be done, what's not to be done. He can get that done. He's got the power to do that, and he's got the ability in him, and he's got the intelligence also. That's what he's saying here. മന്യേ ധനാഭി ജനരൂപ തപസ് ശ്രുതൗജ തേജസ് പ്രഭാവം ബലം പൗരുഷം ബുദ്ധി. ഓൾ ദ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് സംബഡി ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ഇറ്റ് യോഗ ആൻഡ് ഹി ഹാസ് ഓൾസോ പെർഫോംഡ് അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗം ഹി ഹാസ് ഡൺ യോഗം ഓൾസോ ദെൻ ആഫ്റ്റർ ഡൂയിങ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ വാട്ട് ഈസ് മോസ്റ്റ് അമേസിംഗ് തിയറീസ് If you research in the spiritual field in this world, those who have got realized the truth, and they are also saying the same thing. What is that? What do they say? They say, we don't know how it happened to us. You understand? Normally, with all these qualifications, dhanam, abhijanam, rupam, tapasya, ശുതൗജം തേജസ് പ്രഭാവം ബലം പൗരുഷം ബുദ്ധി യോഗം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ ഗ്രേറ്റ് ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് റൈറ്റ് വിത്ത് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് ദർ ആർ സോ മെനി പീപ്പിൾ ലൈക് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഹു ഹാവ് കംസ് അപ് ടു ദിസ് സ്റ്റാൻഡേർഡ് വാട്ട് പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ബട്ട് വാട്ട് പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇഫ് യു റിസർച്ച് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഫീൽഡ് യു ഫൈൻഡ് ദയർ ദോസ് ഹു ഹാവ് റിയലൈസ്ഡ് ദ സെൽഫ് are not from that. Somewhere unknown to us, who never had any of these things, they have come and made it a success in life. Prahlada's point, that important point. So, and if you ask them who realized the truth, how did you get here? They said, we don't know how it happened. This is spiritual life. Bhakti is like that.
Okay, we have to do so many things in this world. This is all good qualities, isn't it?
Manye dhanam is good. Abhijanam, that means you are using the money in the proper way in this world, all the wealth what you have. Then rupam, nice form, looking good. Tapasya, you got austerities. And you got a lot of austerities in your account. You performed a lot of penances and austerities. Shrutaujam, that means you have studied Shastram well, Shruti is known to you well. Shrutaujam. Tejasa means that aura in you. Belam, prabhavam, belam, pavirusham, buddhi. All necessary qualifications in life, one has got all that. Buddhi, yogam, and ashtanga yogam he has executed, everything. But in spite of all that, you find, if you look into the spiritual field, you find that somebody who has come and realized the truth and he has left this world in self-realization. And he didn't have any of these things. These are all considered to be good qualities in a person. But success is concerned, it's not connected with this. When it comes to bhakti, you find somebody who has no connection with any of these things has come, executed bhakti, and got himself out of the whole material life once for all. And if you ask them, how did this happen? Like I mentioned, Nisargadatta's case. If you ask him, how did this happen? He said, I don't know how it happened. I don't know, he says. It happened. Only thing he says, I believed everything what my spiritual master told me. He met his spiritual master, and the spiritual master told him, then accept this, that this body has nothing to do with you. You are different from the body. He totally accepted that. He didn't have any of these qualifications, what is spoken here. And he realized the truth, and many people are coming to him to know about the truth, asking him. Same thing with others, you can see so many like this. Ravana Maharshi's story is saying, he didn't have any background like this, what is spoken here. From coming from a very poor family and in extreme difficult circumstances, one day ran away from home and came to Arunachalam and Trivannamalai, stayed there. But inside that, determination means that strong urge inside to realize the truth, and something has gone inside. That is the mercy, that is Krishna's grace, and eventually he turns up as Ramana Maharshi. Later on, isn't it? So, Maharshi, somebody asked him, what should I do? He says, I don't know, don't ask me, he said. Because I myself don't have any qualification to come to this stage. But, he says to Arunachaleshwara, to Shiva, that you came and took me. That's what has happened. Manikyavajagar says exactly the same thing, that my life was not very good, he said. I have been telling lies all my life to people, and I lived like this in this world. And I was living practically sleeping everywhere. It means that I have not woken up to any truth, but you have come and taken control of me and gave me this mercy. And similarly, we are all sleeping and nobody is coming to wake us up from our sleep. So, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam and we are chanting the holy name. Ashtanga Yugam, so people are performing pranayamam, sadhana, and we are using money, what we have got in our hands, in a proper way, what this can be used for. And all these things we are doing, and ultimately, after doing all that and did everything what is we've been told to do the right thing, finally at the end we say we didn't get Krishna. We didn't get Krishna. So you can do good things, you can do bad things, but good and bad is all inside the world. Good and bad is inside the world. But knowledge of the soul is outside the world. Knowledge of the soul is outside the world. Good and bad and everything what we consider as good and bad is all inside the world. So, the only thing is, if you do good things, it will develop some good vasanas inside. and it will develop into pious results also. But if you do bad things, you will get sinful reactions from that. So neither of them, good and bad things, will not give us Krishna. It will not give us Krishna. Now if you say Ashtanga Yogam also, the problem there is, when you are executing Ashtanga Yogam, there is Ahankaram inside. I am doing that. Is it not? So Ashtanga Yogam also, if you are not able to eliminate the Ahankaram inside, then what will happen is, if you keep Ahankaram inside and engage in Ashtanga Yogam, over a period of time, you will develop different kinds of siddhis. That will be the result of Ashtanga Yogam. If you practice Ashtanga Yogam with ego inside, that I am executing this with strong desire for results, that will develop in the form of some power, and that is called a siddhi. Siddhi means that powers that is developed from the yoga process, isn't it? So then what will happen? You can, instead of flying in an aeroplane, you can fly without aeroplane. Fly, because agashagamanam, that's what it's called. Agashagamanam means you can fly from A to B without the help of any mechanical support. Similarly, instead of going in the ship or in the water, you can walk over the water. These are Ashtanga Yoga's result. You can just walk over the water. There is this famous story that one disciple of a spiritual master, he left the guru and went to learn Ashtanga Yoga. For 12 years, he performed Ashtanga Yoga. And after that, 12th year, by then he acquired this power to walk over water. So he was living on the opposite side of the Ganga River. One side the spiritual master was living, he was living on the opposite side. So one day he walked over Ganga River and came to see his spiritual master, walking over Ganga River. So when he got there, the spiritual master asked him that, what have you been doing all these 12 years? He said, you don't know, I have been practicing Ashtanga Yogam, which I have developed that power now. They call it as Jalastambham. Jalastambham means that when you put your feet on water, you don't go underground. You don't go into the water. Water will support you. That's called Jalastambham. It's a power in the siddhi. It is. He said, I have developed this and therefore I came walking over Ganga River, he said. So the spiritual master told him, you have wasted 12 years of your time. Because how much does it cost to cross the Ganga River by boat? A small amount, isn't it? 50 paisa or something like that at that time. It was only 50 paisa. So to get this, you wasted 12 years of your time, he said to him. So purpose is, the idea, reason why it said is, austerities and penances is not for getting siddhis. Siddhis are useless at the end. What will you do with these siddhis? Because if we are not able to manage the siddhis, what we have caught already. If you get more siddhis, what will happen? Is it not? You can see the problem with the siddhis. Whatever siddhis we have, everything what we have got is siddhi. For example, these things what we are developing. Like you can see mobile phone now, to talk from here to America, sitting here. It's a siddhi it is. These are all siddhis. Invention of various inventions. What it means is, material nature now and then allows you to understand how she works, little by little. She gives you some knowledge like that. And when scientists get that, they develop into some pattern of using that in our life in this world. About 25, 30 years ago, you couldn't even imagine this about mobile phone, isn't it? Now every dog has got a mobile phone. That's the world now. That's how fast the changes happened, isn't it? So you can see mobile phone, computers, and this transatlantic flights and all kinds of things, going underneath the sea, going to the space. This is all when Prakriti allows us to have it, some capacities like this to travel. And in that process we lose a lot of things also, but what I'm saying is that these are all development of siddhis in us. We have those siddhis in us. But you can see that the siddhi also is not going to solve the problem here. Siddhis are like this. But that doesn't solve the problem. Problem of birth, death, old age, disease is still there. That has not gone away. So even if you look at other things, for example, charity, if you take, for example, charity, even that is sometimes a problem because there will be a hangaram inside. I have done this. I have done that. This hangaram will come. So then you are giving something that happiness from that while giving something or doing something, that happiness, where is it coming from? It's coming from the hangaram inside, isn't it? That is why Vedam says, when you are giving, kriya deyam, diya deyam, samvida deyam. There are statements like that in the Vedam. While giving something, that knowing this, you are giving to not anybody else, Krishna, who is present inside as Antaryami, I'm giving it to him. Diyadeyam, Hriyadeyam, Samvidadeyam. With that understanding, you should give it. That Antaryami, who is inside me, I'm handing it over to him. With that understanding to give it. Not otherwise, Ahankaram will come otherwise. Ahankaram will think that I'm doing it. Look at this, I've done that. So many kind of thoughts will develop inside the heart. So, not to develop the hangaram inside, you have to give up this understanding that I'm giving it kriyadeyam, diyadeyam, samvidadeyam. But Krishna, who is inside as Antaryami, to him I am giving this. Therefore, when you giving charity, you have noticed, even if you are giving something, the person who is receiving it, you keep him on a higher platform. You stand at the bottom and you give it to him. Keeping him on a higher level, you are giving it to him from a lower level. You give it to him. With great respect, you are giving to him. Because you know that it is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. More and more when you give it, also the pride can build up inside. Ahankaram can build up inside. So therefore, Shastram says, give with bhakti to Antaryami so that it doesn't build up inside. And you can see, suppose you have given to somebody lot of wealth, and tomorrow if he doesn't offer respects to you, then you will get angry. You will get angry. This is all a side effect of this charity, problems in the charity. That you have given charity to somebody, and if he does not offer you respect, then you feel upset. You feel upset. You say, so, it is limited in the sense that Vaidhika Rahasyam, that Upanishad is saying here, these are important matters to take care of. Prahlada also, Upanishad says like that. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that. Prahlada is also saying this. Dhanam, Abhijanam, Rupam, Tapasya, Shrutam, Tejasya, Balam, Paurusham, Buddhi, Yogam. All the things he has mentioned in that 9th verse. All of them, is saying there that all these things, Naradhanaya Bhavanti, all these things are not necessarily helping you in worshipping Krishna directly, because these things are sadhana rahasyam, secret of performing sadhana. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuda paya. You can do all these things, but if there is no surrender inside to Krishna, these things won't be of much help. That is Prahlada's point. This is Prahlada's point. You have to look at it from different angles. Huh? In bhakti, Prahlada is saying that if you have no surrender to Krishna, and even if you do all these things, it won't come out successfully. This is Prahlada's opinion. You have to take it that way. That is what he is saying here. First you surrender to Krishna and then you do all these things. Then it will be very effective. It will be very effective. Without surrendering, if you keep doing all these things, but if there is no surrender, there is a possibility that ahankaram will build up inside. Ahankaram will build up inside. So, for example, let us take one sadhana. Say you are chanting the holy name. When you are chanting the holy name, the correct understanding is Krishna is allowing the chanting to happen through this body. In that way, you have to chant. That is an important concept. In the Bhagavadam, it is spoken so many times. You should never think that, oh, I am chanting. I've done my rounds. People say like that. I've done my rounds. My rounds. I have done. That is the indication of that misunderstanding. That means you have come to Krishna with a business understanding. That's all I have told, that I'll chant 16 rounds. I have not said I'll chant any more than that. So I'm doing that. So if you do like that, that's not proper chanting. Proper chanting is that Krishna is allowing this to happen, because to chant holy name, first of all, you require that consciousness, right? Isn't it? Properly to chant. And who controls the consciousness? Krishna is controlling from inside. Unless Krishna gives you that inspiration to chant, and Krishna gives you that right surrender mood inside, surrender bhava inside, you could not chant properly. Otherwise, you will be expecting results from Krishna and you will chant. You will expecting some results from Krishna, you will chant, and that is risky. So, that means without expectation anything, as though Krishna is performing this action through this body, in that way, if you execute that sadhana, then that sadhana is proper. Sadhana is proper. That is why important thing, very, very important thing, all sadhana what you do should never be done with willpower. You've got to get rid of that from inside. It's a big block inside. That is why after 40, 50 years of sadhana, nothing has happened. If you do your sadhana with willpower, then ahankaram is doing the sadhana. Not you. Atma is not doing the sadhana. So, and also you can notice, with willpower if you do anything, it won't last very long. It won't last very long. You may do for few days, few months, few years, but eventually it will collapse. Eventually it will collapse. You must give some thoughts to this idea. Every time when you do sadhana, you have to always be very clear inside that it is with Krishna's kripa or grace or mercy this sadhana is happening. On my own I couldn't do it. That understanding is important. You can see how many times Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam this thing. Now and then Krishna will say Madashraya, 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 Madashraya. Why is he saying that? If it was your business, he could have left it to you. Isn't it? No. It's not your business. It is Krishna's business. That's why. Krishna is saying to us, anytime, anything you do, Madashraya, be dependent on me. And taking my shelter, do it. That's the way it is. Taking my shelter, do the sadhana. Whereas most of the people do not think in that way. They just think that my spiritual master has told me this, so I'm doing it. What is that? No, never, never like that. You can see, Mayedide Shavahidam, if you look into the, Tattvajnanam in the Bhagavadam, it's in the 11th canto, 10th chapter. The first verse itself, Krishna is saying there, that begin your spiritual life in this way. In the 10th chapter, first verse. And that word is so important in that. What is he saying there? Mayodite shavahita sodharmesho madashraya. Madashraya. Taking my shelter, you do everything else. So, shelter is more important than anything else. That surrendered mood in Krishna. Always to do surrender and do things. And let whatever happens doesn't matter. Results don't bother. But this surrender and doing things in that mode is more important. Karmam has to happen because we all have karma vasana inside. We have not come out of karmam yet. Even karmam is holding us back, isn't it? So all you can do in this situation is take Krishna shelter and allow the karmam to flow through you. But if you take Krishna shelter, karmam will develop in a good way. The karmam that you will do will turn out to be good. It will all develop, it will all, because you have taken shelter, not because you have done the karmam. Because you have taken shelter, karmam is a disease. Karmam is not a very amazing thing it is in this world. Karmam is a disease for the body. Because we have got the body and the mind, the karmam is there. Is it not? So karmam, you can't stop karmam. Suppose if you give up karmam and sit in one place, you will be in serious problem. That's why all our sannyasis are running around all over the world, because they can't sit in one place, they find it difficult. So by karmam is forcing them from inside, go here, go there, go there, go there, like this. Where is this coming from? That karma vasana has not died yet. It is there inside. You can't stop that. So therefore, Shastram is advising us that Madhashraya, take Krishna shelter and let the karma, whatever that comes through, let it flow through that. Let it flow through that. This is the principle. So, Kamayodide Shavahida, Sodharmesha Madhashraya, Varnashrama Kulajaram, Agamalpa Samacharel. So, like this in Bhagavadam, in several places you will see this particular point. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said this, Mayasakta Manapartha, Yogam Yunjan, Yogam Yunjan Madhashraya, Krishna says. Is it not? Seventh chapter. Begins with that verse. Mayasakta Manapartha, Yogam Yunjan Madhashraya. 7-1. Bhagavad Gita, 7-1. So, there also one. Then, in the seventh chapter again, Krishna is saying, Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashrite Yadandiye. Everywhere this ashrayam is spoken more than the sadhana. Sadhana one should do, but with ashrayam. With ashrayam. So you can see here that willpower, any sadhana, what you do, should never be done with willpower. At least adhyalpa sadhana, spiritual sadhana. Anything what you are doing in the field of spiritual life, you should never do it with willpower. With willpower. Because if you do it with willpower, after a while it will go. After a while it will go. And that is the reason why sadhana stops in people. In people, sadhana stops because of that. That because this ahankaram has been doing that. And ahankaram cannot remain steady. It cannot remain steady. Therefore, great devotees, they cry because of this. They say that, oh, ahankaram has come to me, what should I do? Abhimanam or pride in what I have done. And therefore, when ahankaram comes, what happens is anubhavam goes away. Experience is in the anubhavam. Anubhava means that experience inside, that goes away. And then the devotees say to Krishna, these are in the different prayers you will see, that when I am leaving my body, without your experience, that and without realizing you, and without experiencing you, I have got a big name and fame in this world, what's the use? Devotees are asking to Krishna that at the time of leaving the body, at the time of leaving the body, without experiencing Krishna inside, what Krishna is, isn't it? That when we say experience of Krishna means knowledge of the self, realizing the self. Without realizing the self, without experiencing Krishna, if I have to leave the body, but I've got a big name and fame in this world, what is the use? Intelligent devotees will ask this question. That is the intelligence, symptom of intelligence too. That if they know that, it's all a waste at the end, if this hasn't happened. So, then the devotees threatens Krishna like this. They say to him that he has executed bhakti whole lifetime, but nothing happened to him. You will get that bad name. Devotees say this to Krishna. You will get the bad name. I don't have any problem. I'm going anyway. I'm gone. But you will get a bad name for that. People will say that, look, oh, he is Krishna's devotee. Look at him. Whole life he has wasted in spiritual life. And what has happened at the end? He didn't have any realization. He suffered like anybody else and left this world, you say. So, so that is why spiritually advanced personalities, they do not look for name in this world. In this world, they don't look for name. So their point is that name and fame in this world, material world, if somebody says that you have become very famous spiritually, if somebody says to you, oh, that you have become very famous, you're a very famous spiritual personality and all that, Shastram is saying, what is the use? What is the use? So, in material life, for example, if you become a, say, prime minister or a president, you can become famous in that way for a short period of time, isn't it? Similarly, if that same nature comes to us in spiritual life also, that, like in the material world, that I become a great devotee or a great jnani or a great guru, that is also a big maya. It's also a big maya that is. In material life, it is maya anyway. Material life is full of maya. That somebody is craving to become a president or a prime minister or big, this big, that big, all for a very short period of time and then gone. That is maya's power. But if the similar mood comes into spiritual life, and in spiritual life also you want to become world famous, I should have disciples all over the world, and everybody should call me as a realized soul, and name and fame, followers, these things, if it comes in spiritual life also, then that is also more powerful maya than the maya in the material world. It's a much more powerful maya that is. So then this will start, I am an acharya, I am a guru, I am a sannyasi, I am a yogi, I will bless you, I will do this for you, I will do that, and all those things. So, and then you sit like that and you take the photograph in that way. And person. So, that is the way it goes. Why? Because this madashraya is missing there. If you don't have madashraya, it will develop in this way, in a person. If you have madashraya, what Krishna is saying there, then this situation will not build up. Otherwise, it will turn out in this way. Name, fame, name, fame, name, fame, everywhere, looking for that. And all their actions will be, in a very subtle level, they will operate it and manipulate and maneuver things in this world for that purpose. That's more important for them, name and fame in this world. But without realizing soul, without realizing the self, without experiencing Krishna, if you have left this world, what use is all this? You have gone, it will last for a few years, and that's also gone with that. You can see this in the spiritual world, spiritual field all the time with people. They come and they will operate in such a way, they want to be the acharya of the whole world and guru of the whole world or yogi or sannyasi, and they will do all sorts of things to get that recognition in this world. Why? Because ahangaram is doing that. If you have madashraya, what Krishna is saying there, if madashrayam is there, then your mind will not go in that direction. You won't think in that direction because you're always thinking about realization of the self, the truth. You want the truth. You don't want this falsity. This is all false things. So that realization, that for that purpose Krishna is saying there, yogam yunjan madashraya. Yogam yunjan madashraya, he's saying. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. This madashrayam is for that, so that ahangaram won't build up inside. Without ahangaram, if you do that, madashraya, if you do that, all sadhana will have its benefit also. So, so that is why every time with the jnanis who have realized it here, we say that they are always in that state. Nistudihi nir namaskaraha. That means that that nistudihi nir namaskaraha. They don't have to glorify anybody. Realized souls, they don't have to glorify anybody. They don't have to pay obeisances to anybody.
Because there is Madashrayam inside. They have so surrendered to Krishna that if we don't see them paying obeisances in the temple or even when they see the deity, it should not be misunderstood because they are always surrendered state inside. This paying obeisances is basically is an external activity to show that inside you are surrendering to them, isn't it? So, but surrender is necessary and this should not be stopped either. Like paying obeisances is necessary also. But the principle here is that nistudihi nir namaskaraha. No stuti, they don't glorify, no namaskaram, because they are in that state. What state? Madashraya. Totally dependent on Krishna. In that state, if one is totally dependent on Krishna, if you don't pay obeisances, or if you don't glorify, what does it matter? Because they are totally surrendered to Krishna. So, but you will notice one thing. If you go to famous mutts, as I mentioned before, Sringeri or places like that, Kanchi and all that, the authorities there, the acharyas, who have advanced spiritually very higher level, and they have happened to be in that place, position, because Acharya Piyatham, they happen to occupy that throne there in the mat. They will pay obeisances when they go to temple. Even though they are Madhashrayam in that dependent state, when they go to temples, they will pay the obeisances. Why? They have to do that for others, so that others don't get misguided. Because if they don't do it, everybody will start thinking that, oh, our Acharya doesn't do that, why should I do it? Whatever he does, only we have to do. In this way, it can develop. So for the sake of the world, they will still maintain that state. They'll still maintain that state. That means they won't do anything with pride. They won't do anything with the pride. So, that is their dharma, in other words. They are doing their dharma. They are in that position, they have to act in a particular way. And then they do that without any ahangaram inside. Without any ahangaram inside. So, sometimes you can see that some great yogis, when they come and they say, I am an incarnation, or I am this, or I am that. And there is no bigger ego than that, isn't it? And there will be people who will start worshipping him. And then, so apart from all other photographs that's on the altar, his photograph also will move into that, isn't it? So, that's all the benefit. So you can see here, what we do in this world while engaging in sadhana also, we do not think about these things, what's happening in the world outside. When we come to spiritual life and we take to these different processes, there's also this problem inside, that is the world, what does it think about it all? So naturally, this thought comes in, recognition from the world, it comes in. So, we're talking about our sadhana, when we are doing sadhana here. All this is spoken not with the idea to criticize anybody. That's not the idea behind that. Or to say somebody is right and somebody is wrong, or somebody is good or somebody is bad. That it will go on its own way in this world. That is not important. But idea is that if somebody is doing these things with that intention, and some people are developing some bhakti and shraddha for that, let that happen. That's not a wrong thing also. But you have to remember this. All this is spoken from the point of view that you want to realize the truth. Isn't it? You want to realize the truth. That means you are the sadhaka. You are performing sadhana for that purpose. That you want to escape from this material existence once for all. Life of birth and death. So,
from your level, from sadhaka's level, one who is conducting sadhana, from his level, when you look at it, the moment you lose that shanti inside, or dhyanam, or meditation inside, immediately you can take it that ahankaram has come. Do you see the difference what I'm saying? Those who are propagating and those who want to get this position of acharya, guru, or yogi, or whatever in this spiritual field to become something, they have that desire inside to become something, and they are running around in this world for that purpose, and sometimes it helps some people. Some people get some faith in their activities and they are willing to do what they have been told to do, and they will develop a relationship in that way with that person, and their spiritual life goes in that way. Let that continue. Don't think about it too much, because sometimes it does something good, and it's the intention is not to criticize them. Whatever they are doing, let them do it. But look at it from your point of view, where you stand or I stand. I have to look at it, or you have to look at it in this way, that I have come to spiritual life for what? Not for recognition from the world, is it? There are so many people. Is that worthwhile fighting for all this? What I want is, or in other words, the ingrained thinking behind it is that I just want to get out of this birth and death. Don't want to accept another body. Krishna is saying, if that is your goal, and if you want to do sadhana with that intention, first thing is madashraya, dependent on me, and do the sadhana. Because otherwise ahangaram will come. Otherwise ahangaram will come. So ahangaram, when you have no ahangaram inside, that stage is called bhakti. That stage is called bhakti. Then when ahangaram goes away, whatever mood that comes in, that is called bhakti. We know what that means, isn't it? What we do with ahangaram and what we don't do with ahangaram. How ahangaram is so powerful inside that it controls everything. Where will this ahangaram go? Where will the ahangaram go? Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that Krishna says to Uddhava, if that ahangaram is not going away, finally he says to Uddhava, keep falling down and pay obeisances one after the other to anybody and everybody. Do you remember that? In the Bhagavatam, Krishna saying that to Uddhava, that if this ahangaram is coming again and again and bothering you, then the right thing to do is to keep on paying obeisances to one after the other, he says. Visrujyasmayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehi gim praname dhandavad bhumau ashwa chandala ghokharam. That verse. If the ahangaram is causing trouble, that's the only solution finally. We know that this ahangaram is very subtle. It is inside. We will all say, oh, I don't have any ahangaram. But you know that to say that I don't have any ahangaram itself is a ahangaram. Is it not? So, praname dandavat, Krishna is saying there to Uddhava. Uddhava, because this is at the very end, he is saying this. That visrajyas mayamanan swan drisham vridamja dehigim praname dandavat bhumau ashwa chandala ghogaram. As long as I am seeing namarupam in this world, what will happen? I am seeing somebody else in the body, namam and rupam. With that, ragam dvesham will come, ahangaram will be there. Ahangaram is too subtle thing to, just by saying he won't go. Just by saying I don't have ahangaram, he is not going to go. He will be still there. So therefore, he is saying, visrajas mayamanan swan drisham vridamcha dehigim. Then this is because of this dehigi. Dehigi means identification with namarupa. As long as we are in the bodily concept of life, I am seeing you as a body, somebody else as a body, and another person as a body. Dehigi, that is what it means. Drisham vridamcha dehigim. If you want to free yourself from that, only option finally Krishna says to him, praname dandavad bhumau asya chandala ghokaram. Fall on the ground, danda namaskaram, or dandavad pranam. Pranamai dandavat bhumau in front of that person. And if that is even shuava chandala gogharam, even if it's a dog, even if it's a chandala or a dog eater, if it's a cow or if it's an ass, donkey, doesn't matter. Whoever it may be, because if you see a donkey, what you will think? Oh, it's a donkey, isn't it? Immediately the mind is moved. Mind is saying that, oh, what is a donkey after all? It's a donkey. That word donkey itself brings a perception inside, not antaryami. Donkey brings a person inside, it's a gone down headed animal, isn't it? And similarly, when you see a dog, oh, it's a dog at the end. And if you see a chandala, it's a dog eater. So that, what impression it creates inside, praname dandavan bhumo asha chandala ghokaram, that is what Krishna is saying. If that has to go, when you see them, particularly dog, dog eater, cow, ass, or donkey, pay your obeisances. Praname dandavan bhumo, till you come out of this problem. So what Krishna is saying there to us is that ahankaram operates in a very, very, very subtle level in us. We are not even conscious of that. We are not even conscious of that. When you see somebody, immediately it creates a movement in the mind. All of us, we get a movement about that person whom we have seen, isn't it? And ahankaram is the one that is involved in that, in forming that impression inside, opinion inside. So that is the point Krishna is making here. Praname dandavat bhumau asha chandala ghokaram. Krishna is saying like that. So therefore Krishna says to Uddhava that and what does Krishna say there? There is something else Krishna saying there. That up to when should you do that? Up to what point you should continue doing this? That's the next words in that chapter. 17. 11, 29, 17. Yavat sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopajayate tava deva upasida vang manakaya vrittibhi. 11, 29, 17. Yavat sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopajayate. Up to that point, you have not started seeing me in that form, in that namarupam. When you start seeing Krishna in the dog, Krishna in the dog eater, and Krishna in the donkey, and Krishna in the cow, up to that point, yet you have to do this. Yet yavat sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopajayate tavadeva upasita. Up to that point, vang mana kaya vrittibhi. All your activities of the words, the mind, the body, all activities related to that should be with surrender. Should be with surrender. So you can't say more than this about the principle of surrender, how important that is in bhakti. Without that, bhakti won't happen. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, again, after saying this, that means till you come to this understanding that it is Krishna is inside that donkey, Krishna is inside that dog, Krishna is inside that dog eater, till that realization comes strongly inside, you keep on paying obeisances to that form. To that form, till this consciousness comes inside. So then, once it has come, Krishna is saying, you will not get up again once it has come. Because at that point, it has come to that realization that even if your body is straight, but inside there is that namaskaram is going on. So this is the reason why any realized souls, they don't pay obeisances. They don't need to. They don't need to pay the obeisances. Because all the time they are in the realized states. All the time they are in the realized states. But this is only for the realized personalities. This apply. Not for us, we have to do this. We have to pay the obeisances. And the realized personalities, after they have realized the truth, they have paid the obeisance. They are remaining in that state all the time. In that realization. Therefore, if a realized soul, if he does not pay any obeisances, then that does not mean that he is ahangari, that he has got ahangaram inside. Ahangaram has left him long ago.
So because if you have to get up, there must be somebody inside to get up. Who gets up? Ahangaram is the one who getting up. Because they have surrendered, that to wake up from inside, to get up from inside, there is nobody else inside to get up. Ahangaram has gone completely. You see that? Ahangaram has completely left them. So there is nobody to get up inside. That is why there are people like that in this world even today, that you will know when you get to know them closer. That there are people like that, that they are so surrendered that there is no need for them to pay any obeisances to anybody. So they are always in the state of paying obeisances to others. That state of realization inside. So here you can see what Prahlada is saying here, that till that bhavam, that mood comes in a person, bhaktya tu tosha bhagavan gajayudhavaya, the last line in the ninth verse, bhaktya tu tosha bhagavan gajayudhavaya, that an elephant, Krishna has gone and blessed him. Very interesting, isn't it? An elephant, Krishna has gone and blessed him. And he realized the truth. Elephant realized the truth, and Krishna has gone and blessed him. An elephant. In the eighth canto, Gajendra Moksham story, Gajendra story. Why did this story come in? To tell us the importance of bhakti. What is Krishna saying to us is, if you see a wealthy person in this world, don't feel respect for him. You shouldn't feel inside any respect for that person. But if you see in someone very strong spiritual sadhana or detachment and renunciation, you should feel respect for him. This is Krishna's indication to us from all these things. Why Krishna is saying all this thing is, if you see a wealthy person in this world or a famous person in this world, you don't have to necessarily feel any respect for him. But if you see a person who has a lot of sadhana in his life and he is serious in spiritual life, living like that, and if he has that realization inside and vairagyam in him, you should feel respect for him. That means, when you see knowledge in a person, and if you see his state of existence, how he is living in this world, you should feel respect for him. Dhyanasthiti, Nirvisheshasthiti, all things related to spiritual life, everything. If you are able to observe those things, you should offer your respects to him. Krishna is saying, if you see a huge building, who lives in a 100 million pound mansion, if he is living in that, and he is driving most expensive cars in this world, you don't have to feel respect for him. And name and fame and the wealth and all that, of seeing all that, start feeling respect for them, that's wrong. Because on the other hand, Nirvishesham state, or in the silence and solitude, a sannyasi or a yogi who is advanced in the spiritual path, if you see him, you should feel respect for him. You went into places like where normally yogis and yanis and great devotees, where they are executing spiritual life very seriously in their life and living a life of severe austerities and penances, and who have that internal or inward realization inside, when you feel them, you should feel respect for them. But generally in the world, it's the opposite. We completely reject them. And we feel respect to all these rich men or rich people who have all the wealth in this world or famous in this world. You feel respect towards them. Krishna says that's wrong. So, and when you see these great souls, Mahalmas, you should think in your own mind, when will I get to that state? When will I come to that state? So, a child got bhakti. Here you can see Prahlada got bhakti. An elephant got bhakti. Is it not? Gajendra. An elephant got bhakti.
And Prahlada got a child, got bhakti. And sometimes you can see that in the Veda Patashala, that means the schools where they teach Vedam for the children, if you observe them, they'll see the teacher is saying them that if you tell the child, don't take prasadam today, tell the child, don't eat anything today, he said. The child says, that's okay. You tell the child, don't go to the temple room and circumambulate the deity or pay obeisances there. If you say that, the child is crying, why not? Child is asking. There are children like that. If you in the Veda Parashala, you will see this kind of situations. If you tell the child, don't eat today, he says, that's okay. What does that indicate? The child has advanced so much that he is not feeling prasadam that important anymore. He is feeling that paying obeisances in the temple room to the deity is more important for him than the prasadam outside. Prasadam, he says, I can give up, it's not a problem. But paying obeisances at the temple, I can't give up. This happens. Teachers test them like this. In Veda Vanashala, they test the children like this. Because they are all 8 years, 10 years old, isn't it? They don't know anything else in this world. But because at an early age, they become spiritually so strong inside, that this attachment for eating, sleeping, everything has gone away from them. And on the other hand, this side is growing strongly, the spiritual side. So they are kind of. So you will never know when you. But if you go to the Veda Parashala and see the child studying there, somebody is thinking, oh, he has come here because he has no other place to go. He is poor. His parents are not looking after. In this way, we will form an opinion about them. Is it not? But that is not good. Because when you see those children, there is not many, but there are few still. When you see those children, and when you see their understanding of life is much better than ours, isn't it? That they are able to go and able to say like this to the teacher. They don't have any opportunity for sense gratification there. All what they have got is prasadam, that's the only thing they have in their life. Remaining time they are studying Shastram, Vedam, and absorbed in the various sadhyayam, everything goes on there, isn't it? But in the middle of all that, suddenly the teacher is telling one child that you don't take prasadam today. He says, that's okay. But if he tells the child, don't go to the temple or pay obeisances to the deity today, he says, no, why not? He says, I have to go, he says. Child is saying like that. So, which jiva has come in which form is very difficult to, what do we know about it? Who are we to judge anyone? How do we know anything about it? We are here, 60, 70 year old, and with our eating, sleeping, work, everything, we are living in this world. And we have also saw sadhus coming and sannyasis coming, mahalpas, shastram we heard. But we are still like this as we are. We are still like this as we are, isn't it? So, so that is one time you have to look at it this way, that you have to say to Krishna that, why am I not making any further progress in me? Why am I like this after so many years? Hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, following all the principles. Still, what level am I? That where am I standing, isn't it? So, in order to create that bhavam inside, that is why Prahlada is saying these words. You see, to create that bhavam inside us, to make us aware where we stand in this whole thing. There is no need otherwise to say these things here. To create that bhavam inside us, that after so many years, where do we stand in spiritual life? Is it not? So, Prahlada is saying here, Vipradushal gunayudadaravindanabha padaravinda vimukha shuvajam varishtam manyeta darpidamano vajanehidatha pranam bhunadi sakulam nadubhurimanaham. Words before that, manyedhanami janarubatapashudauja teja prabhava balavavurusha buddhi yogaham aradhanai bhavandi parasya pamso Bhaktyadu dosha bhagavan gajayuthapaya. See that verse? The way Prahlad is presented to us to make us aware where we are standing in life. That these, with all these qualifications, what's the use, he's saying? Bhakti is not there. Bhaktyadu dosha. And you has given Prahlada bhakti, addressing Krishna, and you have given bhakti to that elephant, Gajendra. Isn't it? Bhaktiyatuto, only through bhakti. That's what he's saying. Bhaktiyatuto osha bhagavan gajayuthabhaya. So he's saying to Krishna that having all these things is all useless. All the things what he has spoken in that verse. Dhanam, abhijanam, uparupam, tapasya, shraudam, tejasya, prabhavam, velam, paurusham, buddhi, yogam. What is the use, he is saying? Without bhakti, all that is a waste. And the proof of that is that elephant who didn't have anything, you gave him bhakti. Bhaktiyatu dosha bhagavan. You got pleased with him. Why? Because he had bhakti in him. Bhaktiyatu dosha bhagavan gajayuthamaya. So, that is why he is saying all these things here. That in order to create that bhavam inside us, that we have to make ourselves feel that we don't have anything to give it to Krishna. What do we have? But only thing you can do is to surrender and to take shelter all the time. So to bring that shelter or ashrayam, that is what he is saying here. So what the important point there is, what all you have got is not the important point. What you don't have is the important point. You see that? From that words you can come to that understanding. You may have so many things. What you have got is not the important thing. What you don't have is the important thing. That's what he's saying here. That what you have, there is no question about that. What you don't have, that's the question. And that is bhakti. That is bhakti means surrender. That's what you have to remember. Bhakti is referring to the word surrender. Sharanagari or surrender. So, Naradhanaya bhavandi parasya pumsam bhaktyatu dosha bhagavan gajayuthapaya. Prahlada was able to bring out all these things in a very effective way in Prahlada's prayers, Prahlada's study. And this is an amazing glorification. This Prahlada's prayers, totally there are about 42 verses here. So out of that is the first two verses what you have seen so far. What we have seen is the first two verses. Prahlada's to these first two verses. So that means bhakti in the experience level, anubhava mandalam, in your experience level, that coming and going does not exist. It does not exist. Coming and going does not exist. In Prahlada's prayers you will realize that. Coming and going is not bhakti. Coming and going. Bhakti cannot come and go. Bhakti is bhakti. It is there in a person. It remains, stays there. And bhakti changes a person in that level, that whatever he lives in this world, you will notice that everything is for coming from that bhakti in the heart. Bhakti is the source of everything. So if there is bhakti inside in a person, you will see his whole life changing along with that, in that direction. If there is bhakti in the heart. For example, bhakti anubhava mandalam, that means coming going does not exist in bhakti. Exist in bhakti. How this coming going happens, you will understand in the Brahma's prayers. Coming going is in the Brahmastuti. There it is spoken here. Because in these prayers, vairagyam or renunciation, bhakti, sadhana, everything is present in these prayers. In these prayers. And it is very difficult to explain the symptoms of bhakti very precisely. For example, that is where you need Sri Narada Maharshi's help. When he talks, bhakti is a very misunderstood word in many ways, isn't it? Bhakti develops in different ways. People misunderstand what bhakti means.
It develops in the form of some rituals or some sadhana or some kind of activity. In various ways, bhakti can develop. In different forms, people will mistake that as bhakti. But bhakti in its pure form is surrender. Surrender is the key in bhakti. Like shraddha is the key in jnanam. So in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, that when defining bhakti, Sri Narada Maharshi uses the word anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam means impossible to define. How do you say? Indefinable or undefinable. Impossible to define. Anirvachaniyam. Indefinable. Anirvachaniya prema swarupam. That is how he defines bhakti in the Bhakti Sutra. So, prema swarupam bhakti hi. So, bhakti has become a yoga. He says that it's a yoga system. And bhakti is generally considered to be feminine. Because the nature of bhakti is feminine. In other words, straina sabhav. Straina sabhav means that, how to explain that? The nature of purusha or male form is not to surrender, isn't it? Not to surrender. Ahangaram inside. The nature of female form is to surrender and accept life in that way. More to surrender and accept it. That is why you find more women as devotees than men. Men will go, their heads will go in all kinds of directions. Women, for them it's much easier to surrender and much easier for them to take shelter. That is why in all the temples, look at the photos for festivals and all that, it will all be women. Women and children will be there. Men, they'll be busy watching television or doing something else somewhere else. They'll be busy with that. So therefore, bhakti is female. In Shastra, bhakti is addressed as female. Because the surrender is possible for them, a lot easier. I'm not saying that all are pure devotees or anything, but the general nature among the women is to accept things in life in that way. But the swarupam, it is strainam, but subhavam. But the swarupam, it is difficult to define. Sri Narada Maharshi says like that. Even Tyagaraja Swamiji, Tyagaraja says here, in one of his kirtanam, he says, it is difficult, I do not know what this bhakti process is, he says. Bhakti margam, I don't know, he's saying like that. He says, Rama Bhakti, I don't know what it is, he's saying. He's saying this. So, even those who have experienced bhakti in the heart, they are finding it difficult to explain that, what bhakti means. But still, Sri Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutram, that, not to say one symptom of that, he's saying like this, that if somebody is not able to forget Krishna, at all the time, and living like that in this world, that is bhakti, he's saying. That is called bhakti. And even if you forget him for a moment, it will be like this, that just like if you take a fish out of the water and put it outside, how the fish will start, how it will struggle to get back into the water. Similarly, if his heart is beating, for not able to remember, unable to remember Krishna, if he's feeling that same feeling inside like the fish, then it is called bhakti. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Harihir jashanam ivatoyam ipsitam. That is how it's mentioned. Harihi jashanam ivatoyam ipsitam. That as long as the Bhagavatam's definition is this, that fish needs water. Without water it cannot stay. Similarly, for a devotee, without Krishna it is impossible to stay. So that remembrance of Krishna all the time continuously ഈസ് ഭക്തി സെയ്സ് നാരദ മഹർഷി ഇൻ ദ ഭക്തിസൂത്രം, ഇൻ ദി ഭക്തിസൂത്രം. And that remembrance of Krishna happening continuously, non-stop inside, that is called bhakti. Tadarpidam tadakhilachara tadvismarane paramavyakulata. In the Bhakti Sutram you will see this statement. Tadarpidam tadakhilacharadam tadvismarane paramavyakulata. As soon as you forget Krishna, you are lost completely. You are feeling miserable. And for that purpose, you are willing to give anything, to offer anything in life. And so Narada Maharshi gave a definition like this for bhakti in the Bhakti Sutra. In other words, that does not mean that devotee on his own, he won't give up all the karma. Karmam he will not stop because of that. And he also won't go and unnecessarily in the world and accept all other kinds of karma for himself. So taking new responsibilities or throwing away existing responsibilities, he won't do any such thing. He won't do any such thing. And what happens is, with the body and the mind what he has got, whatever activity it is doing, karma is coming through that body. That karma, tadarpidam akhila acharadam. Tadarpidam akhila acharadam. All that karma he offers to Krishna. And he follows that route. Everything offered to Krishna. Everything tad vismaranena parma vyakulata. And for a second, if you loses that memory of Krishna for a short period of time, he feels very miserable. He feels very miserable. Parma vyakulata. So, yeah. Then Narada Maharshi says there also, Almaradi avirodhena shandilyaha. You remember when we discussed Narada Bhakti Sutram, we mentioned there that there is no one, the prominent of all the authorities on bhakti is Sri Narada Maharshi, but there are others also who have spoken about bhakti, like Shandilya Maharshi, Vedavyas, Sri Narada Maharshi. They are all authorities on bhakti. So Shandilya Maharshi's definition is like this: Almaradi avirodhena shandilyaha. And that is his explanation to that. That separated from the soul, if you don't look, if you see Krishna as the Andaryami inside, that's what it means. That you are searching for self-realization. Shandilya Maharshi says, that's bhakti. So swarupanu anusandhanam bhaktirityabhidiyate. Acharya mentions like that. Shandilya says, Almaradi avirodhena shandilyaha. Shandilya Maharshi says, if you are inquiring for Almaradi, to enjoy the blissful nature of the soul, that means you're chasing the self-inquiry or following the realization of the self, that is bhakti. This is the definition of Shandilya Maharshi. So, that means looking for Krishna in the form of Andaryami. Looking for Krishna in the form of Andaryami. And he will have bhakti which will be continuous, non-stop. You see, here another interesting thing. If you try to remember something in your mind, there will be interruptions for that. Vichiti. It's called vichiti in the Shastra. Vichiti means that if you try to capture something with the mind, you won't be able to hold it all the time. Is it not? No matter how good you are, strong in your mind, with the mind if you hold it, it will fail. There will be interruptions. There will be breaking. It will break. So that is why Manomandalam, in the field of mind, Smarana, remembrance, has got vichiti, breaking up. You can see, when you deep sleep, you will forget. It's gone, isn't it? And even while waken state, even if you remember, there will be thought waves will come, and between them there is what is called vichiti, breakup is there. And while sleeping, you will forget. And say if you became unconscious, you will forget.
is it not? And suppose in any other state, whatever state, if you you are absorbed in the mind, mind will create this situation. So, remember this, that when that verse in the first canto, in the second chapter, vidyate hridaya granthi, chidyande sarva samshaya, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishtva evalpmani ishvare, there was a verse, isn't it? So, what is it saying to us is, that's an Upanishad verse, he says, if you are not seeing Krishna as your Atma inside, if you are not seeing that, you are not giving any importance to that. Krishna is your Atma inside. And if you are not seeing like that, that means that is not happening through mind and intelligence. That is happening through awareness. Through awareness. Because you see, inside, Atma's presence is awareness, isn't it? And to know the awareness, you don't need mind and body. It's through not through mind and body you are becoming aware of the Antaryami. Not through the mind and body. That is important. It is not through the mind and body you come to know about the Antaryami. Antaryami you are knowing through awareness. Is it not? Everything else in this world, through mind and body. Everything else in this world, through mind and body. Or senses, whichever way it is. So, this is a very interesting topic. Because if you think through this, you will think, means at the moment we can only do that much. That it's a new topic in the sense that everything you are bringing in through mind and body is all limited things. All limited things. And in order to engage mind and body, you require meditation, dhyanam. Dhyanam is for mind and body. And what is that meditation? Meditation is that if you have started through meditation process and come to this understanding that Antaryami is Krishna. Antaryami is Krishna. And if you have woken up to that state, then what has happened is that state of awareness has spread into your intelligence. Into your intelligence. Spread into your intelligence. Let me make that clear. Normally, we have memory, isn't it? It is too subtle, these things. It's in the Bhagavad Gita's commentary. All this is spoken much better. Then, memory is there in us. This memory is a power of intelligence. Intelligence is connected with memory. Right? Intelligence is connected with memory. So, this intelligence inside us, don't go by the intelligence what's used in the material level sense, right? So, intelligence generally is connected with memory, but when intelligence gets influenced by the power of Antaryami inside, or the awareness inside, that this effect of breaking up goes away. Normally, you are seeing things through the mind and the intelligence. And with that, their perception, and that comes in, and we accept that in our mind. And that does not stay continuous. There's always interruptions in there. So, therefore, even though you may be intelligent, you may have good memory, you may have an inquiring mind and everything, whatever you have collected through those processes, they are not existing continuously in us. It doesn't exist continuously in us. There is always this breakup in between, vichiti comes. That's why when in your mind, if you are thinking about home, thinking about job, thinking about family, thinking about other things, they are all coming and going, coming and going. It's a continuous process, isn't it? First time something, sometimes you are thinking about something, sometimes you are thinking about something else. This changes, why is it happening? Because this thing called vichiti exists in the body, in the mind and the intelligence.
In awareness, have we noticed? There is no time when you are not aware of yourself, is it not? Awareness is a new term. Sometimes most of the people don't think about it. That awareness exists all the time in us. So, this coming-going business is only mind and intelligence. It doesn't exist in the awareness. It doesn't exist in the awareness. So therefore, when this awareness starts working, when the awareness starts working, or in whom, who has woken up to his Swarupa, who has woken up to his own identity, there that remembrance of Krishna, by remembering Krishna as Antaryami is there. Because Antaryami and awareness is permanent, if there is no vichitti there. Vichitti is in the mind and intelligence. Antaryami, there is no vichitti. Vichitti means this interruption doesn't exist. Therefore, when awareness starts involved, or when this waking up happens in the awareness of the self, it will have its effect in the intelligence also. And therefore, it will not be like the way it is in the case of mind and intelligence accepting other things. So, what it means is, it is not a recollection or it is not a reflection of the mind. See that difference? It's not a recollection or it's not a reflection of the mind. Everything else is like that in this world, isn't it? You are seeing with your senses, gets an impression, reflection in the mind, or recollection of that in our mind and memory. It goes like that. Mind, memory, and then intelligence is there, it will bring back when we want that recollection of that later. Like things what you have seen, things what you have heard. That is why certain things what you have seen, you will say, after a while you will say, oh, I can't remember that now, what I have seen. I don't remember fully, I can't fully recollect, we say. That means I am not able to retrieve it before. Like the initial time I had the experience of that. So any experience that comes through the mind and intelligence is subject to this problem. That you will have a problem, it is, that there has to be a reflection or a recollection of that later. And you won't be 100% like the way it was in the original state. But anything that has come from Antaryami, once we have woken up to the knowledge of the self and awareness of insight, which is continuous, which never loses, which that is, that smriti is permanent. That smriti is permanent. Akhanda smriti, they call it. Akhanda means unbroken. Unbroken smriti. And that akhanda smriti, unbroken awareness inside, is called jnana. Is called jnana or parapatti. Different terminologies used for that. But if you understand the principle, what it is happening there, that's most important. That beyond this mind and intelligence, Antaryami is the actual control of everything. And it is through Antaryami waking up, Antaryami's awareness when it wakes up, then anything that happens associated with that Antaryami is permanent. It is not coming and going. Whereas in mind and intelligence, everything that's happening is coming and going. That is the principle. So, and one who has got fully woken up awareness all the time, which is always without any vichitti. Without any vichitti means avichina. Avichina means there is no vichitti. A person who has got that, he is called prahlada. He is called prahlada. And that's the word, what it means. The word itself means that. Prahlada. Prahrashena prahlada. All the time experiencing the bliss of the soul. Did you understand that word? All the time experiencing the blissful nature of the soul. Not to the mind and the body. Mind and the body, if it has come, it will go. It cannot stay permanently. But because it has happened by simply the woken up inside, the awareness has woken up to that level, moksha karana samagriyam bhakti reva giriyasi. In Vivek Chudamani, other song says, moksha karana samagriyam bhakti reva giriyasi. Susvarupa anusandhanam bhakti reva giriyasi. Bhakti is beautiful definitions. What bhakti is capable of doing, that this awareness wakes up inside, and then prakarshana father. Father means that bliss experience inside. Prakarshana, unbroken, continuous, without any vichiti. Then it is called Prahlada. Then it's called, that is how that name was given to me. Prahlada was given to me. So, Bhagavatam is saying to us, Prahlada has not done any deity worship. Have you noticed? Nothing is mentioned in the Bhagavatam at least. He hasn't done any deity worship. He didn't chant the holy name 16 rounds in the morning or 192 rounds in a day. Any such adventurous japa didn't happen for Prahlada. Prahlada was normal. He didn't do any, like we do our big, what do they say, fighting japas. It is fighting japa means fighting with the japa. that's our japa, isn't it? Fighting with the japa. He didn't do anything like that. But, and Prahlada, that he didn't go to this temple, that temple, anywhere. He didn't go anywhere else. All what, if you read about Prahlada, what he's saying, Asinam Samvishastishtan, Sri Narada Maharshi says about Prahlada. Look at that, what he has, Prahlada, what he had to say about Prahlada. He says, yeah, Asinam Paryaran Nashnan, that is 7438. Asinam Nyastrakridanago Bhalo Jaravattan Manastaya Krishna Graha Grihi Dalma Naveda Jagadi Ishwaram 37. Asinam Pajaran Nashnan Shayana Prabhubandhuvan Nanu Samadhatthamegani Govinda Pariram Bhidaha. Look what happens to a person when this Antaryami has woken up inside. This is what that verses are about. There is no reference anywhere. Prahlada was chanting the holy name, Prahlada was going to the temples, Prahlada was engaged in paying obeisance, or any such thing. In went to this temple or did deity worship. Nothing is mentioned there. Only thing he is saying is, Asinam Padyanam Nasnan Shayana Pravivan Bhuvan Nanu Samvattamethani Govinda Padyanam Pita. Only thing is, inside the womb, he heard from Sri Narada Maharshi and he accepted it without any questioning. With that he changed. That acceptance is the most important thing. He accepted what Narada Maharshi said. Yesterday we discussed what Narada told Prahlada, isn't it? What is Atma? And what is Sharira body is? Prahlada accepted that without any further question. Therefore when he came out, he was like this. Asinam Vajyanam Nashtam Shayana Prabhivan Bhuvan Nanu Sandattamethani Govinda Parijam Vida. So Krishna conscious, while sitting, while walking, while eating, while sleeping, all the time, he could not remain without Krishna. And the after effect of that is the next few verses. You will see 39, 40, 41, all those things. Kojit Trivadi Vaikuntham Chinda Shakala Chetana Kojit Dasarita Chinda Ahlada Vulkhayadi Kojil Nadadi Kojil Kandam Vilajo Mutyadi Kojil Kojit Tadbhavana Yutam Sanma Yonu Chakaraha Kojit Pulaga Sushrim Asre Samskarshana Vrundaha Aspanda Pranayanandam Sarilami Hidekshanaha. So those, what was happening to Prahlada? Sometimes he laughed, sometimes he danced. Sometimes he cried and sometimes he smiled. You could never say body was doing its own things in its own way. Inside Govinda Parinamshita, filled with Govinda inside. Krishna is filled with inside. And sometimes he was dancing. Nrityati Kojit. Kojit Bhavana Yutam Samayona Chakaraha. In some instances, according to his own bhavana or imagination inside, she will do certain things according to that, how the body acts. Kojil pulaga stushnim ase samparshanurvudaha aspanda panayananda sarirami irirekshana. Then pulaga, I mean that he was getting so much charged with that ecstatic feeling inside. All his body and everything were showing the symptoms of that in different ways. So that is what it is saying there. So, so Everything what Katara was doing, people were looking and seeing these things for Katara, how he was living here. Then what is it? Sometimes he is speaking Bruvan and Sambhishas Krishna Shayana Prabhuvan Bruvan. But when all these things were happening with him, Prahlada was not aware of all that. Prahlada was not aware that it was, I have not done anything. It was happening in the body and the mind. I am not doing anything. In this way, that means when we do things, we are very conscious, isn't it? What others are thinking about it. Or we want to impress others, isn't it? We do things to impress others. So, whether it is kirtan, whether it is dance, or whether it is lecture, whatever it is, this problem we all have inside us. But in Prahlada, those things have gone away from him. He doesn't feel any need to impress anybody. Already he is experiencing his self within. That is what he is saying here. So, if you look at him at that time, he looked like anybody else. But inside, Nanu Sandhathaye, Nanu Sandhathaye, Vajrandhira. His Shraddha or attention was not in any of those things what he was doing. There was no attention. There was no Shraddha in any of them. Where was the Shraddha? Where was the Shraddha then? Govinda Vajrandhira. Shraddha was in Krishna. Shraddha was in Krishna, not what was happening in the body and the mind. Do you see the difference in Shraddha? If our Shraddha is in the Kirtanam or Shraddha is in the body, Shraddha is in the world, then what will happen to us? Everything what we do, we want to please the world. We want the recognition from the world. That will be there inside us, is it not? But our Prahlada's case, he was doing all these kind of things, it was happening, but he was not aware of any of those things. Why? Govinda Parigambhira. Krishna has taken inside, gone inside to that extent, that he couldn't care less for the body, or the mind, or the senses, what it was doing. So, we'll have a break now.
చేతో దర్పణమార్జనం వామః భావాగ్ని నిర్వావణం శ్రేయకైతవచంద్రియా వివరణం విద్యావదు జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం మృదిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మాసుమనం వరం విజయదే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామనామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నిమిదా స్మరణేన కాలా ఏదాదృశీ ప్రకృభా భగవన్ మమాపి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహా జనినానురాగ తృణానభీషుణీ చైన తరోరవీ సహిష్ణున అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి మదనం మగనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశకామయీ మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై దుహి త్వయి నైనందనుజకింకరం పతినామాంశమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాదపంకజస్థితదూళీ సదృశం విచిందయ నయనంగళదశుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులకైర్నిజితం కదావభూ తవన్నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్లావిషాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టుమాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వాం యథా తదా వా విదదా తులం మనో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తున ఏమనా పరా.
So we have seen the state where Prahlada was, isn't it? Those verses, what mentioned about Prahlada. It says in the Bhagavatam, in the 4th chapter, 7, 4, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. All those verses, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this about Prahlada. Narada Maharshi is saying, Nyastha Kredanago Bala. He didn't want to play with anybody. Children at that age, you would expect they would be fond of playing. Nyastha Kredanago Bala. Kreda, Bala Kreda was not there. The tendency to play, which is stronger than the children, isn't it? In the children, that's the most powerful urge to play. To play all the time. So Nyastha Kredanago Bala means Prahlada didn't have that urge inside to play. Jadavattan Manastaya. Like sometimes we look at Prahlada, it will appear as though he is dead matter. There is no life in him. Like Jadam. Jada means like Jadabharata in that same state. Krishna Graha Grihi Dalpa Na Veda Jagadi Drisham. He has been captured by Krishna to that extent. Krishna Graha Grihi Dalpa Na Veda Jagadi Drisham. Because so much absorbed in Krishna has inside him, Na Veda Jagadi Drisham, he didn't know this world existed. For him only Krishna existed. World didn't exist. The way we are perceiving this world didn't exist for him. Asinam Pariran Ashnan Shayana Prabhiban Bhuvan Nanu Sandatta Methani Govinda Pariram Pida. All the time, while sitting, while walking, while eating, while sleeping, while speaking, all the time, Nanu Anusandattam Etani Govinda Pariram Vida, completely influenced or controlled by Krishna all the time. And that is what all those verses we saw. So this Shraddha, his Shraddha is not anywhere else all the time in Govinda. Govinda Pariram Vida. Shraddha is always in Govinda, never moves away from Govinda. Many Maharshis also case this, they used to talk like this, that Maharshi didn't chant anything. He used to come and sit in that cave there and he sometimes come and sat in the cave, or sometimes he doesn't have any. If you look at Ramana Maharshi's life also, you will see that there was no particularly any deity worship or chanting or anything like that. That many people asked him also that, you don't do any worship, deity worship, upasana. He says, what upasana? He said that 24 hours you could see him. Any time you could go and see him, he was available. He didn't even have water pot with him, kamandalu. He didn't have even a kamandalu with him. And neither a danda, like the sannyasis have, none of them. He's sitting there on his chair or a bed, wherever it is. Anybody could approach him any time and see him and listen to him or talk to him. But he was very practical also. He would go to kitchen and help them cutting vegetables. Or he was he knew cooking from his mother. He had learned well. So he will teach them also how to cook. And in this way, and sometimes he will go for a walk in the mountain. So he will go and bathe in the tank. And even though he was doing all these things, then nothing in his life was a special thing. He was not doing anything very specially, anything, any action. So people will wonder that, oh, he doesn't, what is he thinking? What is his meditation inside? Reason is that nobody asked him that question. Why? Because if you go to him and spend some time with him, immediately you are affected inside. Dhyana, meditation develops inside. You yourself become free from all the chittavritti and that feeling of self-realization slowly starts building up inside, knowledge of the self. So everyone who sat in their sannidhi means in their presence, this jnana spurti of this knowledge of the self comes to them, And also bhakti develops in the heart. And that comes in a natural way, it comes inside. In Vedantam, it is called a sahaja yogam. Sahajam, in a natural way that happens. So yogam has become in a natural way it is happening to people. Just like we don't have to meditate to confirm that we are human beings. We know we are human beings in that level, isn't it? So only if somebody tells you that you are not a human being, then you have to think about yourself. Otherwise we are always aware that we are human body, isn't it? So similarly, a man knows he is a man and a woman knows he is a woman. It doesn't require any kind of conviction. It's already awareness so strongly inside that you know you are a man or somebody else knows she is a woman. In the olden days, like in the drama, sometimes man has to dress up like a woman. And sometimes who are very expert in that, when they dress up as women in the drama, who are what they call, they are very dexterous. That you have got that capacity that you will not be able to find out. There are very experts in that, in acting in the drama. That they are so expert that you will never recognize them. They acted so well. Only after when they remove their dress, you realize it that they were someone who were known to you as a man has acted as a woman. Isn't it? So, and the way they dress also, very much like a female, but in spite of all that, in his awareness he knows he is a man. Is it not? Even though he is dressed up very well in the drama, and he is acting in all this way, still inside him he knows he is a man. Isn't it? So, or to become a man, he doesn't have to remove all the clothes from his body and start thinking, oh, I am a man from now on. No. Even while dressed like a woman and acting like a woman in the drama, he is still always conscious that he is a man. Isn't it? So, that is what he is saying here. That this awareness, that means in that state, when he is thinking that he is a man all the time, you don't even require the mind or the intelligence for that. Is it not? There you are not utilizing mind and intelligence, because it is so deeply in the awareness, that in the awareness, deeply in the awareness that you are a man, and therefore even though you have dressed like a woman and acting like a woman in the drama and all that, inside you are always conscious you are a man, isn't it? So, so that knowledge, where you don't require the mind and intelligence, mind is not necessary, intelligence is also not necessary. In that state, if that knowledge is working, that knowledge is called sahajam. Sahajam, it is with you. Inside. It has not come from outside. It's there inside you. Like this person's man dressed up as a woman, and then even though he's dressed up very well like a feminine dress, inside him he knows he is a man. It doesn't require any external factor to determine that. But he knows that he is a man. Similarly, that means mind and intelligence has no help there. It's not necessary. You don't need mind and intelligence for that. Similarly, without the help of mind and intelligence, that knowledge that remains inside is called jnanam, or sahaja jnanam, they call it, sahaja jnanam. So, these examples are from the material examples, right? This one, isn't it? Because if you say like this, you can understand man and woman example in that way. Because we talk about soul, we won't understand. But if you say male form, female form, we will understand. We can easily connect with that. Therefore, it is spoken like that. Similarly, for a person who is performing sadhana also, in one level, you haven't got a clue of who you are in your mind, have you? In your manomandalam, in the field of the mind, we haven't got a clue about ourselves, who we are. Manomandalam, it is not there. And except that through mind and intelligence, we have some kind of concept in us, about us. Suppose somebody asks me, who are you? I will tell him that my name, where I live, who I am and what I am, this and that, a few things I'll tell him. And apart from that, what else do I know about me? Not much. Shastram says I am spirit, soul, there is Atma inside, Antaryami inside, mind inside, intelligence inside, ego inside. That's all how much I know about myself. And same with every one of us, isn't it? So, without this knowledge, what is in my mind and what is in my intelligence, that knowledge about myself, without that, when I start knowing about me in a different way, who I am, Sotvam, it is called in the Shastram, the word Sotvam, which is in the form of awareness. And when that starts coming up, in the form of awareness, if I start knowing me, at that time, you will understand that the sadhana, what he is doing at that time, is not anymore with the mind or intelligence or senses. None of them. After this has woken up inside. See, the thing is that when we have knowledge of the self, at the moment it is very much on a sensual, mental, intellectual level. Is it not? To a large extent it is on that level. But at the same time, there is a slight inkling inside that I am not any of these. That's also there. Inside us, isn't it? We all know that the body is going anyway one day. So I can't be that. There you come back to the awareness inside. Similarly, mind also, you are looking at it and thinking that this mind is going in dream state, it is disappearing and the deep sleep is not there. So I don't think that alone cannot be me. I can't be mind alone. That's not possible. Same thing, when I go into deep sleep, my so-called intelligence is also going away. Where is it going? I don't know. Ahankaram also is going away. Everything is going away, and I'm going into deep sleep, and I had a good experience, and then I wake up in the morning, and all these things are coming back to me. And although they are coming back, they are all liable to go also, eventually one day. So always there is this very, very, very light, slight perception or awareness inside that I am something different from all these things. Body, mind, intelligence and ego, senses. So, when you have come to that state in your awareness, that you started giving more and more attention to that awareness inside, the sadhana what you are doing at that time is not anymore in the platform of mind and intelligence. Normally, when ahankaram is doing the sadhana, ahankaram does the sadhana. All the sadhana is done by ahankaram, but it is in the platform of mind and intelligence. Mind is doing it, intelligence is directing it, ahankaram is doing it. Ahankaram doing is, mind is cooperating with that, intelligence is guiding it. It's one completely different level that is, isn't it? But if the inside awareness has woken up, then you don't need mind, intelligence and all that. And that is the state of all these personalities. Prahlada, Ravanamahrishi and all we are talking about is like that. For them, mind and intelligence is not doing the sadhana anymore. That is not doing the sadhana. They are in that state all the time. And that is what I mentioned, they are called Prahlada. Prahlada means that in that state who is situated. Prahlada was like that. Prahlada was doing everything, but he was not doing anything. And when you look at him, he looked at normal like anybody else in this world, but he was not in this world. And all the vyavaharam was happening, but he was not doing any vyavaharam in this world. All vyavaharams were happening through him, through that body. Body was moving, but he never moved because of the realization inside. He was eating the food, but he has not eaten any food. You don't understand that? And he was sleeping, but he never slept. That means in Swarupam, in Surupam state, without any vyavaharam, in the Surupam, without any vyavaharam, there is no vyavaharam in the Surupam. He is in the Surupam all the time. Surupam, you know what it means, his own identity, he is in that state. Then Surupam state he is, and at the same time, Prarabdham was coming through the vyavaharam. Prarabdha vyavaharam it is called. Prarabdha vyavaharam. He is liberated, but body has not gone. Body is still there. And why the body is there? There is some prarabdham to go through that body. And that is called prarabdha vyavaharam. Prarabdha vyavaharam. So even though continuing to do this vyavaharam, or transactions in this world, based on prarabdham, but situated in that state of self-realization, they are called Jivan Muktas. They are called Jivan Muktas. All Bhagavatas, great devotees, Bhagavadottamas, they are like that. Jivan Muktas, Jnanis, Yogis, among all of them, they are the best. These ones are the best. Those who can live in Jivan Muktas, position is very high. They are living in this world. Their body is present here. And body is passing through its vyavaharam. All activities are happening in this world. But they are not involved in it. They are disconnected from the body. And they are living in their world. In their own world. And that is completely with Krishna. Completely with Krishna they are living there. So in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna mentions this, he uses different words. Gunatitan, Dundvatitan. One was transcended the gunas, three modes of nature. One was transcended the dualities. Yogi, Jnani, Bhakta, Sthitapratnya. These are all words Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita. Only the names are different. But if you look at that person, he will be like this. Prahlada state. So the symptoms is same. You will look at the person, they will behave in the same way. But name Krishna has used is different. Second chapter he calls it as Sthitapratnya. 14th chapter he calls it as that Gunatitan or Yogi or Jnani or Bhakta or Sthitapratnya, whatever it may be. So that state of experience we have to Prahlada has reached that state. That means he showed us that he is not affected by anything in this world. Anything in this world. And it is that Prahlada's studi is that what we are studying now. So when Narasimha Murthy came there, all the demigods got frightened. Prahlada didn't get frightened, did he? He didn't get frightened. Then, so without any fear in the mind, this little child Prahlada goes to Narasimhamurthy and pays his obeisances there. And when Narasimhamurthy, even Hiranyakashipu got frightened after seeing Narasimham, isn't it? But Prahlada didn't get frightened after seeing Narasimham. So they say in the Bhagavatam that when Hiranyakashipu saw Narasimhamurthy coming out of the pillar, even he got frightened. How could this happen? He was thinking, he was never expecting. Least expected, isn't it? So for a second, then Hiranyakashipu and Lord Brahma and others, then even they got frightened. Stambe gattayato Hiranyakashipu karnau samachurnayan. Then stambhe gathayato, when the stambham, the stone, the pillar broke up, and from inside this Narasimham came, Hiranyakashipu got frightened. With the roar he came out. Because he was not expecting this. When that pillar was cast, Hiranyakashipu, you know what was used in the pillar? Cement, bricks, stones, sand, water. And he know how it was built. So he was not expect. He knew that inside the pillar there is nothing except these things. And now this Hiranyakashipu Narasimhamurti comes from there roaring like anything. The big roar. And that shocked Hiranyakashipu. How is this possible? Hiranyakashipu is thinking, how is this possible? Because inside the pillar there was nothing. And this form comes out from inside. He's saying, so, stambhe gettayato kamba kaschana kamba roda chalidam. That it creates a terror or strong vibrations in kamba kaschana kamba roda chalidam. That it has created such a tremendous fear in Hiranyakashipu's heart. In Hiranyakashipu's heart. So there you can see there that Ashwatham never, Hiranyakashipu says, I have never heard such a thing happening. Hiranyakashipu is saying there. So that Hiranyakashipu, kambakaschana sambhavadam, that means it shaken him inside out. And for a short period of time he was in a shock. Ambhojabu, including Brahma also, for a short period of time got shaken. Brahma also didn't expect this to happen. Because Brahma is thinking, it is not in my creation, I have not created one like this before. Brahma created all other kinds of forms, isn't it? In the second canto you can see, read there also. Brahma knows what all he has created. Brahma says, I have not created one form like this before. Half man, half lion. I have not created one like that, he says. So Brahma knows his own creation. But when Narasimhamurti came out and roared, a big roar, at that time, Brahma felt a tremor in his stomach. Seeing the roaring of, what to talk about Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu was shaken. Kambakaschana kambabhada chalidam, it says. Then Hiranyakashipu was shaken when Brahma had felt this tremor inside his stomach. So, but in spite of all this, Prahlada was not shaken. Nothing happened to Prahlada also. Prahlada goes to him and pays his obeisances like an ordinary person you are meeting up with. With full confidence and without any fear, Prahlada goes to him and pays obeisances. So, and then paid his obeisances, and Brahma and others, they all glorified Narasimham, and that glorification, they tried to glorify him, but it wasn't very successful, because actually you can only glorify Krishna when Krishna starts allowing you to glorify from inside. If you want to glorify Krishna properly, Krishna has to, from inside, Antaryami has to give you that capacity to glorify Krishna. So all the great devotees, if you look in this world, you will see this, that's the true story. None of the glorifications what they have written was not written by them. It's all very spontaneous, isn't it? It's come out spontaneous. And because they cannot sit in the way they are, when they come to that happiness, bliss inside, Krishna also says that it will come out in that way, glorification of the soul. Even Krishna says about Bhagavad Gita that it has come out like that through Krishna. Krishna is not speaking from his mind and intelligence, Bhagavad Gita. We have this misunderstanding. Oh, Krishna knew all the verses before me, and Krishna has told us, and I have studied the verses. That's not how Bhagavad Gita was spoken. At a particular point in time, in that particular situation in Kurukshetram, when Arjuna came to that state and asked those questions, the answer came from the Antaryami, who is Krishna himself in Krishna, in Krishna's inside. From Antaryami it came out in the form of a song. That is Bhagavad Gita. Not that Krishna has studied Bhagavad Gita 700 verses. He sat there with a book and a pen and with a light saying, let me write Bhagavad Gita first. And wrote all the Bhagavad Gita and kept it in his memory, and when Arjuna asked and he said it. No. That is why later on, when Arjuna asked him to speak Bhagavad Gita again, Krishna said, I can't remember. That came out at that time when you asked for it, I spoke. But right at this moment in time, the Arjuna who is asking that question, and Krishna who spoke Bhagavad Gita is not there at the moment, he said. When they come, because both of them have to be ready for it.
matured and ready for that. So, that's why they say, the wind that is blowing in the sky, that is Krishna's music. Krishna's music. So, everything that is working in the material nature is Krishna's music in different ways. And when we experience happiness, that is coming from, for the devotees, it comes from their heart. And that is how all the great personalities, great devotees, they have sung. It is their ecstasy that what you are experiencing in their songs. In their songs. For example, Manika Vachakar, Appar, Sundarar, and all other, Manika Vachakar, all of them. Similarly, all the Arvars, Tukaram, Namadev, Janishwar, Mirabhai, Tulsidas, and so many others, Narasimha Mehta, Jaydev, endless list, isn't it? All these personalities, if you look into their songs, what they have written, they were not written like ordinary people like writing the songs. In their that state, what they were in their bhakti state, that experience is flowing through them in the form of words. It's a huge list that is. You can see all their songs, if you read through, you will know that how could they write like this? Because it's coming from that Antaryami experience inside, isn't it? So, for example, for them what it is Krishna has come and taken over everything, control of them. And through them Krishna is speaking. That is these glorifications. These verses from Prahlada's level, to speak it's not possible. 5-year-old child with very limited intelligence and mind, how can you speak? It came out because Krishna enters into Prahlada and speaking through Prahlada, Krishna is speaking. It came as Prahlada Stuti. Why did he do that? To make the world realize that you can't glorify me. If I want to glorify, I have to glorify myself. You don't know me enough to glorify. It is beyond your capacity to glorify Krishna. Therefore, if you have to glorify Krishna, Krishna has to enter into some devotee and through them Krishna has to glorify. And that is how all these big glorifications have come. Whether it's Brahma, whether it's Gopis, whether it's Uddhava, whether it's Ambarish, whether it's Parikshit or Kudidevi or Bhishma or anybody for that matter, whenever they have glorified, you have to always remember this, whether it's Dua or Prahlada, whoever it may be, glorifications is Krishna's doing that as Antaryami through them. They are only a channel for that. They are only a channel, nothing more than that. But they were selected as the channel. Why? Because of the surrender. Because of the surrender. So, whether it is Appar, Sambandha, Sundara, Jnana Sambandha, Appar, or Sundaramurti Swamiji, or Manika Vachakar, they are the famous devotees of Shiva. Or the famous Arvars of Vishnu in the Ramanuja traditions, the Arvars. Or if you take the saints from Maharashtra, Tukaram, Namadev, Janishwar, or Mirabhai, Tulsidas, or Narasimha Mehta, or Jaydev Goswami, like this is an endless list of great, great devotees, isn't it? All of them, their songs were actually because Krishna entered through them and spoke. That is why their songs stays in this world. They don't disappear. If you and me wrote it down, some song, and printed it out and distributed it, it lasts for 24 hours hardly. Even that's not guaranteed. People won't read it, nobody will. But because it is the anubhuti level, it's coming from there. It's coming from Krishna itself, therefore it stays, isn't it? So, so for example, the out of the one of the interesting one is the Sundaramurti Swamiji's case. Sundaramurti and Lord Shiva has a very strange relationship, as I mentioned many times before, that he's getting married and Lord Shiva is coming to the marriage pandal or marquee where everything was arranged. He's dressed very well and he's standing there to get married to the girl which was arranged through them. So, Shiva is dressed like a very, very old person with a stick in the hand. He's walking there.
So, and there what happened was he frightened, this old man frightened Sundaramurti. And which I've spoken before also, that Sundaramurti was so frightened, told him that you have some debt, you have to pay the debt, otherwise you can't get married. All your family members are indebted. Unless you clear the debt, he said, you can't get married. Frightened him like this. So, Sundaramurti, after all these incidents, is asking Lord Shiva, how should I sing your glories? He says, Shiva says to him, that I came and frightened you, remember? And Sundaramurti called him, you're a mad person, crazy, he said. So call me a crazy person and sing my glories, he says to Sundaramurti. And that's why in Sundaramurti Swami's songs, often addressed Lord Shiva as a crazy person. He says like that. So, but who is singing actually? Shiva is singing through Sundaramurti. Sundaramurti is saying which bhavam, that bhavam inside. Sundaramurti's bhavam is that you came and frightened me, didn't you? So when I got frightened, what I felt, I will sing that. And who is singing? Shiva is singing through that, and Shiva is enjoying that. Shiva is singing and Shiva is enjoying that. And it became very famous. So whatever bhavam that came through Sundaramurti, that bhavam he is expressing it there. So when that anandam or bliss builds up in a person, studi comes out in a natural way. Bhakti comes out, when bhakti develops in the heart, studi comes out from there. In Dhruva's story you will find this. What did Dhruva say? That Dhruva could not say anything. What can Dhruva say to Krishna? 4-5 year old little boy, what will he say when he sees Krishna? That's why when Dhruvastuti begins, he started with that. Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayat tagila shakti dhara swathanam anyam shahasta charana shravanam togadin prananamo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. This is the first verse in the Dhruvastuti. Dhruva Maharaj is saying that Yo andha pravishya mama vacha vimam prasuptam. Who entered inside me and who started working from inside? Like we say, working from home. He got inside and working from inside. What did he do? Mama vacha vimam prasuptam. That my words have started flowing from inside. Akhila shakti dharas sudhanam. All power for controlling that is coming from inside. Anyamscha hasta charana shravanatvaga adhin pranan. Pranan, the life air which is operating our eyes, ears, hands, legs, all the senses of knowledge and senses of action. All of them is functioning and working due to whose presence inside? To that force I pay my obeisances, he says. Pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So that is, Dhruva Maharaj has also said this. So every devotee, Prahlada and Dhruva lived that long ago. But these personalities, they are all in the recent times, last 500,000 years time. These great devotees who have sung like this. Where did their songs come from? From their anubhav or bhakti inside, which has come out, flown out in the form of these glorifications, isn't it? So, another great Mahatma, he goes to a rich man's house. Very rich man invited him to speak at home. He went and invited him in a proper way, so he went there. And he was speaking there and they gave him a facility to sit and talk. So he continued speaking for a long period of time. 4 hours had gone. It started raining. So many hours has gone and people the speech was not over. And after that he said he was not stopping. So the Jamindar or the wealthy man who has invited him, he says to him that I didn't expect that it's going to go along so long. He said, I thought it will finish for an hour or so. That's why these days you tell people, you got, before you start your class, they tell you, You got 30 minutes. So that you don't you don't talk for hours and hours, because it becomes a problem in the temple then. They got other things to do, isn't it? So what to do? So they tell you. So the speaker also keep looking at the watch all the time. Is it time to finish? It's time to finish. So sometimes some speaker says, we haven't got much time. He says, we haven't got much time. We've got only 20 minutes. Out of that, 20, 30 minutes, 10 or 20 minutes gone for Jai Radha Madhava and all that. Then where's the time to say anything? So they say, after that, have you got any questions? He says. If you have no questions, the class is over. You can go home. There's nothing to say. There's no time anyway. Or they say, oh, prasadam is ready, everybody is waiting for the prasadam. It's over. So this is how Bhagavatam class turns out to be. What can you do? So here, Krishna is saying here, that look at all this sthuti, that's what you have to look at. What all has gone into that sthuti? When Krishna is glorifying, Krishna himself glorifying through somebody, what so much has been packed into all this sthuti? Brahma sthuti, Garbha sthuti, then Prahlada sthuti, Dhruva sthuti, Bhishma sthuti, Kundi sthuti. Every sthuti if you take, there is so much in it to realize from that, isn't it? So Ramalinga Swamiji, that's what he was saying. So he was invited. He said, so after speaking for such a long time, when Ramalinga Swamiji left, at that time, they thought, those who organized this, they thought, oh, he has spoken for so long time, we should give him some good amount of money. So they gave him a lot of money. What he did was, on his way back, he put it everything in the well. He threw it in the well and he went away from there. He says to him, so that is the situation that, so for him, his mother wasn't living. He was living at home with his brother and brother's wife. And brother's wife was very pleased with this child. Ramalinga was a young boy at that time, Ramalinga Swami. He was very pleased with him, seeing his saintly nature, very saintly nature. So sometimes the elder brother used to get upset with him. But he will say to his wife, don't give him any food, let him struggle, seeing his nature. But still, she will give food to him. So that was how it was. So one day when he came back, that brother's wife asked him, how did it go? He said, I sang and I spoke as whatever has come to my mind, whatever has come from inside. So all the time I was feeling blissful, so it took a long time, he said. And that is how he said. So what he's saying is that inside he was feeling happy, that happiness has come out in the form of sthuti, from sthuti. So there are many kirtanam that they have written, Ramalinga Swamiji and others, is like that. It's like this. Similarly, these saints from Maharashtra, they are abhangs. If you go to them, you will see that their experience, they are singing. What they are experiencing at that point in time, they are singing. And you can also notice there, the route they have gone through in the process of bhakti. What they went through, the route you can see. They will tell you what sadhana they have performed in their life, what happened with that. Similarly, this Prahlada sthuti, Prahlada, you will see, make us understand that what is bhakti sadhana. To tell us that is this Prahlada sthuti. We understand technically sadhana, isn't it? Technically we understand sadhana. What are they? Chanting the holy name, then reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or doing deity worship, or going on Harinam, or going for Kirtan Mela, or whatever that is. This is all the sadhana, the way we understand. But this Prahlada sthuti's purpose is to make us understand what does actually bhakti sadhana means. What does bhakti sadhana means? For example, you can see here,
Then, who can, Prahlada is saying here, that who can go back to Krishna? Who can go back to Krishna? And what does success mean in this world? That is also, Prahlada explains here. What does success mean in life? Isn't it? For example, you can see, normally in the world, one who has accumulated a lot of wealth, or who has got a big name and fame and all that, all others will also respect you and give you honor, everything. And the more wealth, billionaires, if you have become, you will be, your names will be in the paper, and the television people will come and interview you, ask you, how did you become a millionaire or a billionaire? Even millionaires, there are so many now, so billionaire everybody talks about now. How many billionaires? Then your name will come in the Fortune 500 list. Or so many, the America, this is the only job, it seems, that making this list all the time and releasing it to the world. So that you can see, they when they interview them also, they also feel proud, who, these billionaires. They say how it all happened in their life. And especially when they came from a poor background and then they have made billions, they feel that their life was a very big success and tell the whole world what has happened to them. So, world is like that. And the whole world is based on this principle operating, isn't it? So, when we have acquired wealth like that, because that's what everybody wants, so much wealth, then afterwards you are fearful about everybody. When you have acquired a lot of wealth, you have to be fearful. Particularly you are fearful about your own family members and your extended families. They will be keeping an eye on you, how much wealth you have made, and if you become very wealthy, they'll be looking at you and keeping an eye. So this is not a new thing. This has been like this for all time in the history. If you have made a lot of wealth and you become very famous, you have to be very wealthy, not a few £100,000, but you got to be very wealthy. If you become very wealthy, then a lot of people will be keeping an eye on your life, isn't it? And you can see sometimes even television people, they interview them and produce some programs about them, how they live, how they think, how they do their business and this kind of things. So that is unavoidable. That is the way the world operates. Look at this emperors, Mughal emperors. If you look at them, you will see there, all of them, for a short period of time, they were emperors. After that, they will go into the prison. This is the funny thing. This happened in many royal families. They have happened. Mughal emperors is the best example. Shah Jahan, Babur, Humayun, Akbar, all of these people had to go through this. After a while, for a few years, they will be emperor and all that. Then the son will say to them, look, you had enough now. It's time to leave that chair for me. I want to sit there for some time. And if you keep sitting there, not leaving the chair, what is going to happen to me? When will I get my chance? He will say this. So he won't listen. What did he do? Lock him up. That's the answer. What did Kamsa do to Ugrasena? Lock him up. So, whether it is Kamsa or whether it is Mughals, of course modern, we can't say anything, but it's also going in the same direction, not much different, but the same things happens everywhere. So, you can see there, power and money, these two things, if you have that a lot, you have to be frightened about your own children. You have to be frightened about your own children. In all over the world, you can see that this incident, this thing is happening. This thing is happening. Suppose you have a lot of wealth. You look at the newspapers, you will see. When they write their will, sometimes parents don't want to give anything to their children. They give it to some dog house or somewhere else. Millions for the dog. £1 for the daughter or son. You see that? All the time it's there in the paper. So, and then they are more frightened about their own children. They're worried that children won't be happy about that. He didn't give me anything. So after the death, they'll take it to the court to see what they can get out of it. So, but the people who are writing the will, they will make sure in such a way there's no loophole for them to get any money, but they are more than happy to give the millions to the cat or the dog. Cat and the dog. Because that is the way they are. That's the way they are. So here you can see this instruction. This problem is there from that time, not now. And Dattatreya Maharshi, in the 14th chapter in this, Prahlada story doesn't finish here. Later on, Prahlada goes on a pilgrimage. When Prahlada was traveling with him, he had other devotees with him. They meet up with Dattatreya in Kaveri river bank. That's where they met Dattatreya. So Dattatreya says there, Prahlada asked this question to Dattatreya, how come you are so happy? So what did Dattatreya say? Look at the 14th chapter in the 7th canto. What he had to say. When he asked this question, Prahlada asked the Dattatreya Maharshi about that. Dattatreya saying to him that Pashyami Dhaninam Klesham. So 13, isn't it? Yeah. 13:31. Where they are discussing this. Brahmana Vacha, the Brahmana is the Dattatreya Maharshi, is saying this to Prahlada that 31. Pashyama Pashyami Dhaninam Klesham Lubdhanam Ajidalpanam Bhayad Alabdha Nidranam Sarvado Abhivishanginam. That is that verse. He's saying here to Prahlada, Prahlada, look at people's problem with the wealth. Pashyami Dhaninam Klesham. Their struggle because they have so much wealth. How much they struggle in their life when you have so much wealth, you don't know what to do with it. And then you are, all kinds of funny things people do. You will be surprised how their mind is working. How their mind is working. Remember I was telling you that one person, he has this idea, that if I can go to the moon and do the mining there, in the moon. Because they have found out in moon, there is all these rare metals there. So what he has done, you know, when they came back from the moon, they have brought a lot of pieces of rock from there. And that's available in America, different people have got it at different times, purchased it. So he is buying all of them. And packing it nicely. Each of them cost, he's paying over them. He bought, one person he was saying this, that he bought one of those pieces from a lady who has had this piece, and he paid $1 million to buy it from her. And he's saying that $1 million is nothing for him. He's a billionaire. He's got so much wealth. Why did he buy that? He has kept it in a strong room inside his house. It's a huge house. In the house, in a strong room, he had kept it. And whenever people come, he says, then I will show you what the moon is. And he's showing all these different stones he has purchased. So many, not one, but 20, 30 pieces of the moon rock, what he has got, which are all looking different than the rock what you find here. And he has framed them and stored them in a very, very, secured way.
And when only to his very close visitors who come, when they come, he shows this to them. So they were asking him, what is that? He has paid few millions to buy all this back from different people. And NASA also has, he donated money to NASA and got these stones from them. So somebody asked him, why do you do that? He said, you don't know. You all think about today. I think 100 years ahead, he says. Now, what he's saying is that he has got plans. He thinks he's working with some companies in America, which he has bought already. You know what those companies, some of the things what goes on in America, you will not believe it, what's happening there. What they're doing is, they're doing so much research into how to do the mining in moon. And this person has invested all his money into it. He says, I am a businessman, and when that happens, my dream is fulfilled, he's saying. That's what he's, and the whole day and night he's busy with this. And by the way, he's also Gujarati, he's also... And he is from a nice place, he has come, but his mind is gone in this way. Direction. That entrepreneurial nature in him is so strong that you will get shocked seeing all this mind is working in like this. Isn't it? So, he is a devotee as well. And at the devotee in the sense that he is engaged in worship and all that. But at the same time, that Maya has captured so strongly that there is something to be done in moon. And he is so convinced about that, he has brought up his children also in the same way. See, they are all very fired up for this new project. And for that, they have gone very far. We don't even know how, where they are. They have gone and developed the machinery that's needed for that. They all have got the machinery. And all, there's so many people working for him from different places. He has hired the best talent what's available in the world to develop the machinery to go to drill. And also he is planning way ahead of, he says that is how we are, he says, the nature of this. We were thinking under our two chapatis today. They are not thinking about, they are thinking about what's going to happen in the moon. That's what their plan. For them this world is over, that's the higher thing. So this is the nature of the people, you can't do anything. But what, that this is where we move away from the rishis. Rishis are saying to us that if you go in that direction, what will happen is, your main business, what, this is coming from avidya again. Avidya is behind it. Ajnanam is behind it. If you forget Shastram, and if you leave all the great souls who have given us this knowledge, our mind will start working. And if in the vasanas are also very strong inside, then you will go in that direction, carried away by that. And because there is some strong vasana that is dictating from inside like that, he is doing it like that. And this is one example. And there is another example I mentioned also. He has this understanding. These are all billionaires. We are not talking about millionaires anymore. Billionaires. He is Russian. He had this concept in his head that I want to live eternally. And I'm sure it is possible. He is convinced on that, to live eternally here. So he is saying that if he can, I can develop a body, and if he can transmit this consciousness from this body into that, and he has given a a certain amount of number of years in which it should happen. I think by 2045 or something, he says. It should be possible. He believes in that very firmly, strongly. And 24 hours he is working on that. And he hires all the professors and intelligent people who can develop all the technology for that, pays them very well, looks after them, and constantly monitoring their progress, and he is spending his time on that. He is thinking that it should be possible to develop a body and to transmit the consciousness from here to that body and to live here in this world forever. So that's his mind working. There are like this, so many people, there's only one or two whom we know about it, but there are many others who have gone on the technology and science so far away, they're moved away, and that's why very, very latest things, like in San Francisco and and in that Silicon Valley and all that. This is the kind of technology they are building up. Not just modern, old, these are all old for them. No? Building cars and building motorbikes and all is finished for them. They don't have any interest in that. They have interest in these kind of things, where technology will go into a very highest level. Anyway, coming back to this, Pashyami Dhaninam Klesham. Krishna, this is the Tatraya Maharshi says, Lubdhanam Ajidalpanam Bhayad Alabdha Nidranam Sarvato Abhivishanginam. What is he saying? He's saying that Lubdham, Lubdha means miserly people, Ajidalpanam, one who has not control of the senses, and they will be always fearful about their wealth. All wealthy people are fearful about their wealth. What's going to happen to my wealth when I leave this world? They are trying somehow or the other to get something from this wealth. That's why they feel that they have to do something in this world with it, because they know very well that death is coming and they'll be gone. And therefore that fear is very strong in their mind. Bhayad alabdha nidranam. They can't sleep at night because of that. They can't sleep. Definitely they can't sleep. They wake up in the morning looking at the email. First thing when they wake up in the morning, they look at the emails. And there will be not one email or two emails. There will be a list of hundreds of emails from all their business ventures in this world. And their mind start working straight away. And it goes on whole day and night till they... And in the night they have to struggle to get sleep as well. So protecting their wealth, sarvato abhivishanginam, mentions in the Bhagavatam. So, when Prahlada was spoken, the Tatraya Maharshi says this, after I have accumulated all that wealth, if you look at them, is there any shanti in them? There is no shanti. There is no peace inside. And once you started dealing with that wealth, that then they become so absorbed in that wealth. Once it so happened, a frog got a 50 pence coin. A frog got it. And when the frog got it, frog started thinking, I'm a rich person now. And and the frog was sitting there and an elephant was passing through. So the elephant, or frog is looking at the elephant and thinking that I got 50 pence. Elephant is not offering any respect to him. So frog looked at the elephant. Elephant didn't care. Elephant put its feet on the frog. On its way. Frog died. Frog is gone. So, similarly, you can see here that our wealth and all in this world, when death comes, Krishna puts his head on our head. Where is your wealth? Like the frog's 50 pence it is. Is it not? Here we are thinking big about this billionaire. But when Krishna puts his feet on us in the death form, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham, Krishna says, what is our wealth then? Who cares about that anymore, isn't it? So then from this story you can to understand that the so-called wealthy one, you can't take it as your own. It has got a temporarily, it's passing through you. That's all it is, isn't it? So in a similar way, Krishna is in the Prahlada is also saying this to us nothing is worthwhile. That is, in the way Prahlada puts it in the Shruti, Prahlada Stuti it is. He's saying to us that don't rely on anything here. Don't rely on anything here. That you need money for food to eat something here. And clothes you need and a place to sleep. Beyond than that, anything else is not worthwhile in this world to struggle for. That is the opinion of the Tatraya Maharshi and many others. So you can see that by chance, if anything happens now, we are all dependent on a system now. System is this, that there is a system called currency, banking, this, that and the other. Suppose that collapses, what happens? What will happen is, and at the moment you hear that the banks have all collapsed or currency has all collapsed, you'll get a heart attack. What's going to happen, isn't it? So the currency is only useful for packing some things, paper. That's what it is worth, isn't it? So that is only a symbol of your wealth, the currency and all that. And like you can see that this so-called wealth also is nothing but a symbol of security. It's a symbol of security, that's what it is. You are experiencing that.
Security is that symbol, is this currency or the bank balance or your investments and all that. Everything is like that. Property prices, it can drop tomorrow. In some way, if it drops, you got, your value has gone down, isn't it? Same thing with industries also. And same thing with all other kinds of all other kinds of wealth what you have accumulated, isn't it? So currency is only a symbol of that basic necessities you can buy from that. So and we keep currency also as a part of basic necessity, is not? We include that in the basic necessity. And then what happens? Vanity comes from that. Vanity comes from that. So in that way we keep on accumulating that, and finally you feel that everything goes off, it goes away. And you can say lakhpati and then crorepati and allpati we become like one millionaire, billionaire in that way, isn't it? So therefore, that is why the Tathagata Maharshi is saying there, dravyam, this is called a dravyam. Wealth in this form is called dravyam. Dravyam you must utilize. You must not take shelter. Shelter should not be in dravyam. Dravyam is only for using it. If you use it, no harm. But if you take shelter in that, you will be in trouble. One day you will be in trouble. That is why dravyam you should not take shelter. Dravyam is only for, this is all dravyam. Money is dravyam. Property, wealth, everything is dravyam. Dravyam is only for you can, for vyavaharam. For vyavaharam you can use that. Krishna says this, that yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. In the 6th chapter, Krishna says this, isn't it? So he is saying there, yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. What it means is, he is saying, aharam viharam, eating, sleeping and all that, or for your little recreation, whatever way to maintain this body here in a reasonable state, and for that you can do your karma. And for that purpose you can eat. For that purpose you can sleep, you can have your recreation. Yukta aharam, yukta viharam, yukta chashtasya karmasu. And similarly, yukta sopnava bhodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. And if you are able to live like that in all the 3 states, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti and everything, sapnava bhodasya, that person is a yogi. That person is a yogi, Krishna is saying, who lives in that way, isn't it? So, that means, what you have to do, a little work in this world you should do, and serve, earn money what is necessary for, to maintain that life in this world, and then be happy with that. That is the principle. So, wealth is only for vyavaharam purposes, one material. Material for vyavaharam purposes. But in paramarthic life, it won't be of no use. Paramarthikam. We have laugikam, paramarthikam. Laugikam means our material life. In material life, it is something what you can use. But in paramarthikam, it won't be of any benefit to us. And therefore, you can use the money for whatever you feel is the right purpose for Krishna consciousness, in whichever way it helps. And the more you do it that way, you will feel that you don't need anything in this world. You will feel an inner satisfaction will come when you keep doing like that. They gave this example that when you are traveling in a boat, I mentioned this, when you cross the Ganga River, the boat has got holes in it. And through that holes the water is coming. But they have not repaired the boat. So the man who is riding the boat, he is continuously taking the water and throwing it out. And if you don't throw it out, the boat will get full very easily, isn't it? So, similarly, money is like that. If it is coming, you keep on emptying it. And if you do like that, that will not cause any problems and you can leave this world peacefully. Otherwise, it will cause a lot of problem. That is why it says there that paramarthiyam level, absolute level, it will not help. We will discuss that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.